go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 8th day of September 2023, the second Friday of September 2023. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb, too. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. All time zones in between and the great globe round, and whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. But if you're listening live, well, pop into and into the chat room. You'll be greeted by early arriver Squeaky, capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist, Chief Mathematician, and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger in Oregon. And, well, you know, I'm kind of there too, I guess. Don't spend a lot of time chatting in the chat room, but I'm there. And, well, come on by. A great conversation will be had by all. And if you are listening to the podcast, pretty please, as usual, like and subscribe. Like, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Republic, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher's gone, Spotify, TuneIn. I mean, there's a million of them. And I think we're on just about all of them. Like it, maybe give us a kind comment. Doesn't even have to be kind, really. Just argle, bargle, warble, whoosh. And, you know, the algorithms really don't care about content. But it helps. And, you know, you never know when it might help bring new voices, new ideas, new conversations to this entire process. So, like I said, it helps. And, of course, it's Friday on the front porch. And so in about an hour, we will go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we keep the extraordinary, ordinary round table and gather around it each and every Friday to cuss and discuss and see what's on people's minds. And God Almighty, I you know, I've come close to doing two, well, I did one, and then better, but in 2.5 hours. Whole lot of filibustering going on lately. And this is one of those days when I could get going right now and shoot right straight through to 8 p.m. and probably still have content left over. But I don't want to get ahead of myself, because every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. That means we send out thanks to our 8th day of the month subscribers. And what that means is my very kind thanks to Sue for Earth, our dear friend of long standing, and thank you to Marsha. Thank you as well. Those are our subscribers for the 8th day of the month. If you'd like to be a subscriber, it's quite easy. You just go over to headon.live. The PayPal interface is right there. Put in $10. That means you'll be separating yourself from not quite an entire stick of gum per hour. Well, no, per program. Per program over the course of a month. And then click the box that says make this have a recurring donation or whatever it says. It'll be self-evident. We hold these truths to be self-evident, you know. And, well, the fundraising goal stands at $825. So that's $75 short of Wednesday, Thursday, and today. Thank you very kindly for helping to close the gap and keep things up and running. Yeah, bills are coming. have to be dealt with. You know, it's really wild. I got to look at Ferg's water bill down in Tennessee. And you know what? He is on a municipal water supply. And so the water bill is extremely low. Ha ha, but here where I am, of course, we are serviced by West Virginia American Water, a subsidiary of American Water, which is owned by some international conglomerate. And, wow, by God, we've got shareholders to service. And what's curious is the difference between their bill down there and my bill here. Our bill here is that when you add in that shareholder servicing, this isn't me complaining. I mean, it's kind of, the bill is outrageous as water bills go. But once you add in servicing shareholder needs and wants and yearnings and capitalist impulses, that's a whole lot of this water bill for my free market water. And that's, like I said, that's more of a commentary on the nature of what capitalistic profit-taking does to something like a public utility, which should not have any profit built into it, versus when it's just the people that's needed to keep the system running, and there's not top-heavy with shareholders and CEOs who need a 15th chalet in Stade. You get the idea. So, I don't know. Let me see. Randy Radar with a tech question for me. Let me check the rickety old iPad here. No, I've still got to take that update, Randy. I mean, it's offering it to me. My phone is updated, but, well, I think the iPad will probably go through tonight. Ah, Squeaky, I'm jealous. Squeaky says, Robin, hi. 86, sunny and calm, just back from a Chinese lunch. Ugu Gaipan? Mushu chicken? Szechuan hot pot? They all sound yummy. Yes, they do. Well, we have an early obligatory Star Trek reference. The Man Trap. The Man Trap of the original series aired September the 8th, 1966. Wow. I was a little over 3 years old. Emilio says, your water bill today, 20 Hope Diamonds. Don't worry, we have an installment plan available. Just pay one Hope Diamond per month. I thought there was only one. Oh, dear. Ooh, Squeaky says, seafood platter, both of us. Yum. I got back a little bit ago. I had to pick up Margie at her house and take her and her wonderful, wonderful golden retriever. The wonderful golden retriever had a veterinarian appointment. Oh, she was such a good girl in the car. I'm talking about the golden retriever. Margie was good too, but I mean, I kind of expect that of my daughter. But the golden just sat back there in the back seat with her, sitting with her little paws regally, with her head held high so she could look out the window and see everything going by. It was just a short jaunt, but she is a beauty. And she didn't even cry or flinch when she got her shots. Good puppy. Good puppy. Good. But like I said, this is one of those information-rich days. I'd probably start with a follow-up to a story from yesterday. We talked about the letter that went out from the members of the Democratic members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. The Republicans don't give a shit. But it went out to old Balls and Strikes John Roberts, encouraging him to encourage Sammy Bad Breath Alito to recuse himself from a case in which plaintiff's counsel is his buddy, who is also a lawyer for the Federalist Society and also happens to be a guy who sat down for a probably should have chosen my words differently, but who sat down for a softball interview with his chum, Sammy Bad Breath. The case, Moore versus United States, seeks to preemptively prevent the government of we the people of this of the United States seeking to form a more perfect union from imposing taxes on unrecognized gains on stocks, which is a kind of property, and, well, certainly seems like it ought to be taxable. But, no, today we learned that despite the presence of David Rivkin in the softball interview, despite the fact that he is a buddy of Sammy Bad Breath, despite the fact that Sammy Bad Breath and David Rivkin are pals of Leonard Leo, despite the fact that it creates a ginormous appearance of impropriety, which, remember, judges, Supreme Court justices even, are supposed to avoid, but well, there's nobody to enforce it against the Supreme Court, so they get to be as crooked as a dog's hind leg if they want to be. And, well, apparently Sammy Bad Breath wants to be. So, after the call for his recusal, Sammy Bad Breath said, I'm not gonna. I mean, just because I sat down and he interviewed me, and just because he was the co-author of the article, he did so as a journalist, not an advocate. Yeah, he was a journalist, not an advocate. Does he have different hats, Sam? Does it have two bills and one turns around and it says lawyer and the other one turns around and says whiny bitch of a Supreme Court interviewer? Sammy Bad Breath went on to say, the case in which he is involved was never mentioned, nor did we discuss any issue in that case either directly or indirectly. His involvement in the case was disclosed in the second article, and therefore readers could take that into account. Never mind the fact that the story was behind the Wall Street Journal's fucking paywall. And never mind the fact whether readers can take that into account has nothing to do with the ethical obligations of a Supreme Court justice. There is no way to force Sammy Bad Breath to recuse himself from the case, and when he votes in favor of preventing these stocks from being taxed, yeah. No. So, like I said, just a bit of a follow-up on that one. God, he's so dirty. And remember, David Rivkin was acting as a journalist. Hey, look, everybody. I'm dancing. Well, it was Attack Journalist Day down there at Bed Monster or down at MAGA Loco or where the hell ever, I don't care. But the twice impeached, 91 times indicted former 91. No whammy, no whammy, no whammy. I hope it's 91 whammies. Nitwit Nero got on his rattle trap, falling apart, social media empire, tripe social. Thank you, Joy. To have a hissy about the lawsuit filed by Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington that's trying to keep him off the primary ballot in the state of Colorado, and whose plaintiffs are all Republicans or independents. This occasioned the following hissy.
The group suing me in Colorado to ridiculously try and unconstitutionally keep me off the ballot. I'm leading against a sanctimonious by almost 50 points and beating Crooked Joe big. Is Trump deranged crew composed of many slimeballs and groups like Norm Eisen, Thru Brookings, or Just Security, Andrew Weissman, Joyce Vance, et al.
The presence of et al. Means that he did not actually write this tripe.
They're perhaps illegally working with Weissman, acolyte Lisa Monaco at Injustice. I've been beating them for years, including impeachments, MAGA.
Dude. Dumbass. You were impeached twice. And only a servile Senate kept you from being removed from office. A gang of lickspittles.
Page 2. Crew also sued me on emoluments at my recently sold and very beautiful D.C. hotel, and thus big. I never had any emoluments. My skin is as dry as the goddamn Gobi Desert. There have been no emoluments. That's one of those sissy things that metrosexuals do. They emulsify their skin. Lisa Monaco does whatever they tell her to do. They play her like a fiddle. So bad for our once great country. They will have major liability for what they're doing to America. It is working with deranged Jack Smith and others. Election interference at a level never seen before. MAGA.
There's a day coming. There's a day coming. And we're going to celebrate that day. So, from slime balls, he then felt compelled to run to the defense of his dear, dear friend,
Peter Navarro.
He is now just Peter Navarro, just another of an entire legion of people who remained loyal to the man who got his start in television with the WWE and bashing people over the head with chairs and the like. He got back on Tripe Social today about that.
I can't believe that these fascist monsters,
define fascism, fuckwit,
have so viciously gone after the great Peter Navarro for defying the totally partisan January 6th Unselect Committee for Political Hacks and Thugs, who refused to go after crazy Nancy Pelosi, and the reason she and the mayor of D.C. rejected 10,000 soldiers.
That's a lie.
Which would have easily stopped any future security problem. His testimony wouldn't have mattered anyway because the committee quickly and illegally deleted and destroyed all evidence and findings.
And by the way, I realize he's not the best at, you know, using the interweb tubes. But every finding, every piece of evidence, every transcript of every interview conducted by the January 6th Special Committee is available on their website, because they still have one. But there was some interesting information that came out today. The special investigation report of the special grand jury in Georgia has been released. And apparently, Precious Lindsey Graham, Lady G, who's presently resting down there at the family ancestral estate of Smoldering Chode. Well, grand jurors voted 13-7 to indict Lady G. But Fonnie Willis decided to, well, pity stayed her hand. It's a pity I've run out of indicting paper, she thought. Analyzing the situation over at MSNBC. The special grand jury listened to him under oath and then decided he was a criminal. And with Michael Steele continuing, I guess the fact that Fulton County DA Fonnie Willis did not indict Graham is an example of that two-tiered system of justice Republicans keep harping about. And Joyce Vance said, not so much luck be a lady, but luck be a senator. Ooh, luck be a lady and luck... Joyce, you minx. Over another lawyer, Victor Shee, said, holy cow. The Fulton County Grand Jury report was just released, and they recommended charges against Lindsey Graham for his unlawful act of trying to overturn the 2020 election results in Georgia and other states. It's past time that Lindsey Graham is charged for breaking the law. I hope Senate Democrats will do something about the fact that a sitting member of the U.S. Senate named Lindsey Graham officially played an active role in overturning the 2020 election and was recommended to be charged by a majority of grand jurors. Democrats, it's time to play hardball. And then there was Norm Ornstein, who sort of pulled it back in a little bit and said, I do think the speech and debate clause presents a hurdle for an indictment of Lindsey Graham in Georgia. But the actions of House members like, well, Paul Gosar, the demon dentist of the desert, or Andy Biggs, or Scott Perry, or Barry Loudermilk, and Marjorie Taylor Greene, and others are different. Jack Smith should act on them. And then adding, because we haven't mentioned her in a little bit, and Jenny Thomas. Because, by the way, my wager is still valid. Oh, yes, it is. Because conspirator number 6 has yet to be identified. There's been a lot of speculation. I think the leading contender is still Boris Epstein, Stone. But Jen Surrectionist is not out of the running. And Lindsey, well, Dave in South Carolina, Stan, puts it, Lindsey, find him a veranda with a fainting couch and hand him a mint julep. Yes! Going back to Sammy Bad Breath for a minute, Steve in New York says, what the fuck does the subject of the article have to do with his appearance of partiality? Not a damn thing. But I guess it's convenient? That's the best I got. Oh, and I have something here that probably, gracious, it's long. Oh, I'd love to just read this, but it goes on and on and on. And that's not a criticism. Our buddy, Reverbo the Human Man, this is a piece by my dear departed friend Joe Bagent I have never read before. Reverbo had a correspondence and actually met Joe Bagent, gone but not forgotten. Passed away far too young. Reverbo sent it along saying, somehow in searching for my renewal form to Popular Mechanics, this email from Bagent to me from February 2010 came up. If I had not forwarded this to you years ago, then I would have been it would have been a grave oversight, so I'm doing so now. It's a great read, just as relevant today as when Joe wrote it. I'm sure you'd agree. Reverbo had written to Joe, and Joe was so good, so generous with his time and his ideas. They got together in Ajijic, Mexico. And I love the correspondence. But there's a pull quote in there from Bagent. Bagent was the real deal, a genuine lefty. In writing this essay, Death by Digitalized Celebrity, The Ghosts of Timothy Leary and Hunter S. Thompson by Joe Bagent, the following passage appears. As always, 90% of the people who do or do not use any kind of drug do so stupidly. But you cannot ban drugs and you cannot have a drug-free society. If that's what you want, then go to China. The same people who want a drug-free society want a sex-free society. If you want a drug-free and sex-free society, waves his arm, then go to China. Leary, Timothy, says China is one half of the struggle happening on the planet right now, and that struggle is for the consciousness of the planet. A struggle between the mass centralization of China, which American corporate feudal lords aspire to, and which breeds that Maoist insectoid kind of suspicion, and sure enough, we find China today expending more effort in surveillance of the Internet than developing it usefully. The authoritarian Soviet-style state versus the American 60s-style self-realization movement toward individuality and self-evolution. The main battle is for the consciousness of the American people. It's the biggest ball game they'll ever play. And it's being played for keeps between cultural outlaws and the repressive forces of military police court authority worshippers. During the 60s, an undeclared civil war took place, and the right side won the battles of that time. Yeah, my side, says Gordon Liddy, and we're not about to let it happen again. Between the end of World War II in 1946 and 1965, Leary explains, my generation produced you, the 75 million babies who wanted everything, the whole world, and we tried to give it to you. I was busy all the time digging retaining walls at the nursery school, and here you are, still moving through the American culture like an avalanche of pure appetite. You're the python, and American culture is the pig in your belly. Again, the name of the essay, if you want to go and find it, is Death by Digitalized Celebrity, The Ghosts of Timothy Leary and Hunter S. Thompson by Joe Bagent, B-A-G-E-A-N-T. Worth the time. Well, thank you, Billable Rick. Cowbell for Joyce Vance, and luck be a lady, and luck be a senator. We will get her certificate suitable for framing out to her post-haste. And as to the subject of the article in the Wall Street Journal that occasioned the pearl clutching and hand wringing by Sammy Bad Breath. Steve notes the subject of the article. It's a squirrel moment. Squirrel? What? Where? And I want to express my particular thanks to our dear friend Theo out in Oregon, who's been trying to plant things in very difficult to plant in soil and hoping the entire state doesn't catch fire and enjoying rain when it happens and the occasional video of a happy little otter. Hi, Theo. Theo was most kind in discussing and describing our little takedown last night of I guess you could say dramatic reading of the letter from District Attorney Fonnie Willis to Jim Jacketoff Jordan. You know, there was another passage in there. Seeing as how you're not a member of any bar, you can buy this book for $249. How? That had to sting. But we had fun with it last night, and this morning, during my filthy morning habit, the MSNBC Morning Zoo crew had their own fun.
In a scathing letter yesterday, the DA blasted House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan for his efforts to investigate her state probe. Following Trump's indictment in Georgia last month, the Ohio Republican asked Willis to turn over all documents related to her case, which Jordan claims is politically motivated. In response, the DA wrote in part yesterday this: "Your attempt to invoke congressional authority to intrude upon and interfere with an active criminal case in Georgia is flagrantly at odds with the Constitution. Your letter makes clear that you lack a basic understanding of the law, its practice, and the ethical obligations of attorneys generally and prosecutors specifically. Its obvious purpose is to obstruct a Georgia criminal proceeding and to advance outrageous partisan misrepresentations. I tell people often, deal with reality, or reality will deal with you. It is time that you deal with some basic realities. A special purpose grand jury made up of everyday citizens investigated for 10 months and made recommendations to me. For a more thorough understanding of Georgia's RICO statute, its application, and similar laws in other states, I encourage you to read RICO state by state. As a non-member of the bar, you can purchase a copy for $249.
Ouch!
Jordan's office has not responded to a request for comment by NBC News.
How can they? They're applying burn cream.
Rightfully so, Jim Jordan. Most people are.
A great line there at the end, and certainly further proof that she's up for this fight. One more that is a legal one, to be sure. And we know this is a sprawling case. There's real doubt as to whether or not the Trump piece of it anyway can come to trial before the election, which I think a lot of people are concerned about because that's the one we know will be on television. People could actually see. But it also, this moment underscores the efforts by Republicans to try to sabotage it. And we have had that from the beginning, this House GOP in particular, trying to play really fast and loose with the law and with their own authority to try to, whether it's defund the Jack Smith investigation or now even put their fingers in a state matter. That's dangerous stuff.
Well, it's a slow roll way to support this conspiracy that we are now finally seeing prosecuted. And that's what's so scary. I mean, what happened on January 6th didn't just happen on that one day. And I think what you're seeing in Congress right now from Republicans who are really willing to throw democracy under the bus and some of our institutions under the bus, as well as their colleagues and the American people, is this is about power at all costs. And they're going to protect their number one guy, who remains Donald Trump for whatever reason. Still can't let go. And I have to say that I think Donald Trump and his acolytes, his advisors, his supporters have really taken advantage of the fact that this is so unprecedented in American history that I think there's been a sense that, well, surely our institutions will stand. It doesn't take the rest of us to break these norms, to stand up to them. But I think what you're starting to see, and you see this with, you know, the prosecution of January 6th conspirators, the leaders this past week. You see it as well with Navarro's conviction. And now you're seeing this just with the DA simply, you know, really putting out a very strong statement, which is that there needs to be pushback. The pushback needs to be forceful. And I think there needs to be a collective sense that we're fed up with this kind of behavior and we're going to protect democracy. And you're seeing that, and that's really heartening. But it's still disturbing that Jim Jordan, who represents quite a block, let's say, is really willing to throw the democracy under the bus.
She's not wrong. And of course, given the red ass to Jim Jacket Off Jordan, you know, Joe Scarborough used that one morning, and I can't help but wonder if the suits called him upstairs and said, "You can't talk about him jacket off anymore. It's not nice. It's factual. It's accurate." It is. I mean, my God, Fonnie Willis threw enough shade at him that he's probably... Well, she burned him to the ground and then froze him to death. Steve notes, Jim Shorts Jordan in his case of red ass, he can't respond right now because his staff is in the middle of putting Vaseline and baby powder on his ass. Oh, they're hosing him. They're hosing him. You probably don't remember because this was a very long time ago. But there used to be a sunburn remedy treatment thing, spray, and it was called unguentine. UNGUENTINE, unguentine. I know because it was used on me a lot when I was a kid. And it really would cool a sunburn. Probably had something toxic or radioactive or cancer-causing in it, but it used to, and it would come in a little canister that looked like a fire extinguisher. Well, I'm pretty sure that Jim Jacket Off Jordan's staff has an actual fire extinguisher filled to the brim with solar cane. Emilio says, "Burn Jim Jordan." Makes Jim Jordan look like one of those mannequins that were used in those nuclear bomb test videos, just melting away. Some people say Jim Jordan was okay with men being sexually abused in the Ohio State University. Yes, some people do say that. Some people say that he was told about it and looked the other way. Some people say that he was told about it and, tried to cover it up. Some people. Fox News style handbook there. And by the way, Darlene, going back to Sammy Bad Breath, said, and I must say, Sheldon, love him, White House. Love stoking the stroke with Alito. Sheldon knows how to make Alito apoplectic. It's pretty hilarious, actually. It is, in a word, it's delicious, it's lovely, it's delightful. Stay the course, Sheldon Whitehouse. Stay the course. Oh my goodness, that does sound intimidating. Randy Radar said, having to deal with 200 cops in town, I'm living 2 miles from Longwood Gardens, and there are about 200 cops or so looking for the escaped convict, the little 5-foot-tall dude, convicted murderer. And he's still evading the entirety of Pennsylvania's law enforcement. He literally crab-walked up a wall like, well, it was like a scene out of Galaxy Quest. And got out some sort of a prison in Pennsylvania a couple of weeks ago. And curiously, another inmate who was subsequently caught had gotten out the same way in May, and somehow or another, they still hadn't fixed it. But Randy Radar says it's intimidating. I can imagine that it is. Some people say, Steve in New York adds, George Clooney's documentary about Jim Shorts Jordan's cover-up is coming out soon. You know, George Clooney is a proud son of the Buckeye State. Being related to Rosemary Clooney and all. And, Steve, is there really a documentary? Well, how about that? Lee in New York, serving as the Horn ad hoc unguentine research department, tells me, it's still available. But it's an ointment. And it doesn't come in a tiny fire extinguisher. That was the important part. So we had our fun with Fonnie Willis yesterday. The Morning Zoo crew had theirs today. Because we're out in front of the curve so far. It feels like straight road. And Glenn Kirshner is apparently paying attention to some things. He noticed that Peter Navarro got convicted yesterday. We had his whining. Convicted of contempt of Congress. Nitwit Nero calling fascist. Whoever knew that Nitwit Nero would go all Antifa? Well, with the conviction of Peter Navarro, Glenn Kirshner paid attention and said, Navarro is convicted for defying a congressional subpoena. Hey, DOJ. Now do Jim Jordan. He committed the same damn crime. Don't put him above the law. There's no justice if there's not equal justice. I would be down for that. That would be some must-see TV. Well, no, it would be in federal court, so we're still in the 19th century with them. Oh, well. So we'd have to have ink-stained wretches rushing outside to thumb stuff into their devices and call back to the home office and yell, "Stop the presses! Stop the pixels!" And then impressionist sketch art instead of high-definition video. Still, I'm okay with that. If, you know, we could just get Jim Jordan indicted, which he richly deserves. Because his actions outside of the House of Representatives, in advance of the domestic terror attack of January 6, 2021, are not, and I want to be clear on this issue, within the purview of the Speech and Debate Clause. Oh, that cowbell is for Ken in Northwest PA. That escapee in Pennsylvania, Ken notes, well, they are the Keystone Cops, after all. Whew, that was quality. Keystone State, cops in the Keystone State, Keystone cops. Yeah, nice work, Ken. Randy adds, the prison thought they did fix it by installing razor wire, but somehow the squirt managed to get through it. He's a homicidal maniac, and we're calling him a squirt. Stay inside for a while, Randy. And yes, it's true. George Clooney does have a documentary on the sexual abuse horror at Ohio State. And it will appear on HBO or whatever HBO is called by the time it comes out. Now, the story came out a year ago in June, so God alone knows when we will see it. I don't know if it's affected by the actors and writers strike or not. Based on reporting by Sports Illustrated. And I've got a couple of stories here. From right here close to home, i.e. almost level west by Coal Manchinia stand. In this case, it's the story of Robbie Reckert, R-E-C-K-A-R-T, a 37-year-old West Virginian. He had been involved in some sort of trespassing event, and he called yesterday over the event. Robbie, in the Preston County Sheriff's Department photograph, looks like he might be chemically easy to rile up. Because he called and told a deputy, I'll kill every state trooper that comes here. And then mentioned a particular member of the state police. I'll kill him too. Then he went in and said to whoever that specific member of the state police was, well, I found out he got kids and I'll kill the goddamn kids. I'll use my car and drive down to their house and kill them. I got an AR-15 and an AK-47, and I'll kill that fucking deputy too, or any cop that comes to my house. If you bring the goddamn dump truck up there and start ramming your cruisers, you'll hear that, won't you? Robbie Reckert is now faced with charges of making terroristic threats. This, at the same time, sometimes it's just a matter of, it's strange and interesting place. And sometimes kind of creepy. In addition to Robbie Reckert, we have Scott David Bixler, aged 42, of Morgantown, West Virginia. We'll just call this the Blotter Report. Scott David Bixler, aged 42, of Morgantown, is a registered sex offender. And he recently hit the road with his wife and went to Mexico. As a registered sex offender and convicted criminal, he's required to inform the West Virginia State Police, which, by the way, is under a wholesale investigation for being a bunch of pervs, similar to Scott David Bixler, one may presume. He didn't let him know he was traveling internationally. So they got to Mexico. Where the Mexican authorities busted them for possession of methamphetamine. But they only got busted for possession of meth after Mexican authorities found out that Bixler and his wife were trying to, and I'm not kidding, buy a 7-year-old Mexican little girl for $5,000. On their person, they also had a cell phone signal jammer and 2 tranquilizer air guns. Back here in West Virginia, he's been charged with, because, you know, we don't have jurisdiction here over trying to buy a 7-year-old Mexican girl in Mexico or possessing methamphetamine in Mexico or... But he has been charged with failure to update his sex offender registration. And he's facing some sort of a miserable existence and a number of charges in Mexico. Jesus jumping Christ. Meth apparently does things to you. But that's just, you know, that's here, but that could be anywhere. One minute you're sitting there smoking meth, the next thing you know, you and your wife are looking at each other and going, hey, let's go buy a little Mexican girl. God damn this thing. There we go. I wonder if Mr. Bixler and Mr. Record have ever met. Oh, by the way, since there's, in that rant, there was also the I will kill the goddamned N-word kids. There's that Venn diagram overlap we talk about all the time. White supremacists, homophobes, xenophobes, transphobes, misogynists. It's just a circle. Just a circle. See what I mean about all the material that's out there this evening? Now, Tim Scott, presidential timber, junior senator from the state of South Carolina, whose senior senator almost got indicted for trying to overthrow the 2020 election in Georgia. Well, maybe he needs to talk a little bit to Miss Lindsay. Lindsay knows a little bit about this. Tim Scott says that his Republican presidential candidate rivals, I mean, are any of them really rivals? Honestly, When he was in, he was campaigning in New Hampshire when he decided to unburden himself of the following.
People plant stories that have conversations to distract from our rise in the polls, to distract from our size of our audience. What we've seen is that poll after poll says the voters don't care, but it seems like opponents do care, and so media coverage that opponents plant, it's okay. Good news is we just keep fighting the good fight.
Back in May, speaking with NBC News, Tim Scott, well, I guess he was trying to burnish his heterosexual bona fides and said,
oh, there's always time for a great relationship with a wonderful woman, and I thank God that is happening.
Because apparently the rumors were, yeah, he's a single male dude. Why is that? And according to Axios, that ever-powerful cabal, namely massively wealthy Republican donors, have begun scratching their pointy little heads and asking, why ain't a good-looking man like Tim Scott got a good-looking wife? Yeah, here's the thing. Tim Scott began his political life in 1995 when he went on to the Charleston, South Carolina City Council. And he has, now 1995 to 05, that's 10, 15, is 20 years. 25. In 28 years, Tim Scott has never been seen on a date with a womanly woman of feminine womaninity. And I love the fact that the NBC News report makes that reference and then says, James Buchanan was the only president who never married, according to the White House Historical Association, while Grover Cleveland was a bachelor as a candidate and got married after he was elected president. And that's how the, oh, there's always time for a great relationship with a wonderful woman, and I thank God that is happening. Once again, Tim, if you're gay, it's okay. A lot of people are. There are a lot of men-loving men out there. There are a lot of women-loving women. Oh, but wait. You're already behind the eight ball in one regard. You're a black Republican. Dear God, being a black gay Republican and running for president? Whew! They'll find time. They'll cherchez la femme, y'all. Tim, come out, wherever you are. To paraphrase Andrew Marvell, the closet's a fine and quiet place, but none, I think, do there embrace. Who isn't named Lindsay? Never ends, does it? Wouldn't it be nice to live in a world where one of the two major political parties wasn't so absolutely sexually hung up that people can't just live their lives? Lee in New York, Tim Scott, never seen with a woman. It just shows how smart women are. Would you want to be seen with Tim Scott? Surely to goodness, somewhere in Washington or South Carolina, Stan, there's got to be a self-hating black Republican woman. Tim, hold on. I've got it. Oh, if only I was at a producer, we'd have kissed the girl from The Little Mermaid queued up. Tim, Candio. I mean, she's a little younger than you. She's a lot more toxic than you. Frankly, she's a lot more masculine than you. But it could work. And we're going to go to the... We will go to the front porch here in a moment. Ralph wants to know, is Tim Scott good friends with Lindsey Graham? I'm sure they are the best of friends. They are Republican senators from a great state of South Carolina. This is fun. The deposition video of Mike Mr. Meth Pillow Lindell, who seems to get sued for defamation every time he rolls out of bed and off of his meth pillow, because of all the times that he ran his mouth defaming, among other things, corporations like Dominion Voting Systems. And in fact, it was Dominion Voting Systems who deposed Mike Lindell. And it had to do with an employee of Dominion by the name of Eric Croomer, C-R-O-O-M-E-R. And, well, you know, I guess things like stimulant addictions, maybe they rewire your brain. Get the hockey puck.
Tell us your full name, please.
Michael James Lindell.
Well, good morning, Mr. Lindell. My name is Charlie Kane. We met for the first time about...
Who's paying you?
About 4 minutes ago.
Okay, go.
Is that right?
What's that?
Is that right?
What was the question?
We met for the first time...
Yes, yes.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to start slow. Because the court reporter is trying to take down what you're saying, okay?
Don't sit and scold me already, mister. I'll do whatever I have to do. So I don't. You're just a lawyer. You're an ambulance chasing lawyer. So don't start with me. I got all day. I'll take as much time as you want. So let's go. You're not.
This is all in response to we met just 4 minutes ago. Bear in mind, this isn't even touching on the gravamen of the complaint. He's up, he's wired, and he's ready for a fight.
Not my boss, you're just a lawyer, frivolous lawyer. So go. Don't start scolding me.
Oh, I'm asking questions. I'm not mm-hmm. going to scold you.
Go ahead.
It didn't get much better for there. So now, represented by counsel, Coomer, or Croomer, it's spelled differently in two different spaces, has moved the court for sanctions against Mr. Methpillow because Mr. Methpillow throughout has been, quote, combative, vulgar, disrespectful, non-responsive, evasive, and consistently loud. And that's just a minute and 2 seconds of it. And there's more. Of course there's more.
So let me finish my question, okay?
Yes.
I tend to be a slow talker.
Good for you.
I'm from Texas originally.
Good for you. I got all day. We'll make a week of this. How about that? Go ahead.
Probably up to your lawyer, but I'm happy to stay as long as you'd like.
Just keep going.
All right. Why'd you call me an ambulance chaser?
What?
Why did you call me an ambulance chaser?
Because you are. This is a frivolous case, and if you're representing this guy and you've read this case, you are a disgusting lawyer, period. That's my right to say. You want to sue me too, Mr. Ambulance Chaser? Are you working on contingency or consignment with the guy? No, I can't believe anybody would take this. This is absolutely disgusting. It's a disgrace to our country. It's a disgrace to you.
Anything else?
No, that's it. You asked me a question. I answered it.
All right. So let me finish my question, okay?
Yes.
I tend to be a...
That was... Okay. Here's some more.
I said objection, non-responsive. Let me explain a few more things to you.
What?
Let me explain a few more things to you.
Mm-hmm.
Have you given a deposition before like this?
I've given a ton of depositions.
Okay, so you understand the process somewhat.
Mm-hmm. Sure do.
Okay. When I ask you a question, you need to do your best to respond only to my question.
You can arrest me? I'll say whatever I want, and if we have extra, that's due. There's no rule that says I can't give a full answer. So I'm telling you the rules. Have you ever been in a deposition where they can't stand who you are? Have you?
A lot more than you, sir.
Okay, good. Keep going. Right. Don't tell me about my depositions. You're not my boss. You're just some frivolous lawyer in here, and you bring in this frivolous case to me, and especially against a company.
It's a fake case, definitely. I mean, you can hear Nitwit Nero's speech patterns in there, can't you? Who learned which from whom? I'm thinking he's taking it off of Daddy Trump, don't you?
Had nothing to do with anything. Right. You're disgusting. Keep going.
I want you to understand another thing.
What's that?
This case is pending in federal court in Colorado.
I don't care. What does that have to do with anything?
Do you understand that?
Yes.
All right. There's a federal judge that's going to likely be reading and watching this deposition.
I don't understand
that.
I don't care. She should have dismissed this a long time ago.
Okay. Wait, we're slurring. She should have dismissed this a long time ago. Now, either the dentures are loose or he's lit. At 9:44 and 37 seconds a.m. What is it, Mountain Daylight Time?
She hasn't ruled on that. There's a problem. I got a problem with her, too.
Okay. The judge has practice standards on how...
No, the judge did not dismiss this case. We put in to get it dismissed, and she ruled an unfair ruling saying, well, go ahead and do discovery and waste all your time while I'm sitting there not doing nothing. That's what that judge is doing. So don't tell me what the judge is doing, and you just let me worry about the judge reading this, okay?
I just want you to understand that.
No, you just don't worry about me. You're not out for my benefit, okay? He's out for my benefit, not you.
And you'll notice his pettifogger is saying, and this is a complicated legal term here, not dick.
So you can, don't worry if I say something that offends the judge, okay? You just let me worry about that. You got that?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, good. Keep going.
The reason I bring that up, sir, is if the judge is not pleased with your conduct in this deposition, there may be penalties associated with
that. Okay, good.
That.
You tell her, you go ahead, and you thank you for your worrying about old Mike. You're really, it's great.
By the way, he's wearing a crucifix, but he's also, well, he's scratching like somebody who's been on Dexatrim a little too long.
It seems like you bring a frivolous case up. You really have my back. Go ahead. Keep going. That judge, you put this in the record, that judge, it's a big problem I got. If someone didn't have the money or time to sit through this garbage, when I put into her summary judgment last summer and she hasn't ruled on it, either say yay or nay. It's disgusting. It's disgusting to our country that she couldn't make a ruling. Go ahead and do deposition. If it was some guy that didn't have money, you would put them under just in this garbage. Wasting my day, wasting my time. But think if it was someone on the street. Don't you care about people? This is disgusting. This judge should have... ruled a long...
I don't know. Sounds like there's a little post-nasal drip in there, too, doesn't there?
...time ago that you're yay or nay, frivolous or not. But she didn't. She said, go ahead and do discovery while I sit and decide what I'm going to do. That's disgusting. I got no problem with you on that. I got a problem with the judge not making a ruling. So there... Now go ahead.
I'm trying to count the number of times he's thrown the lawsuit on the desk.
But me and the judge think of each other. All right?
Objection, non-responsive. Here's another thing that I'd need you to know, Mr. Lindell. If the court determines that you're not being responsive or acting in good faith today, we may have to come back and do this some more. And I want you to understand that.
Oh, I got that.
All right. And if that's the case, I will be asking for... attorney's fees and costs for
do it. I'm already asking for them. I might just come after you guys for the most frivolous case ever when this is done. If there's a way to sue you, believe me, I'm doing it.
Okay,
just so you know that, beyond anything you've ever seen. So be prepared.
I'm committed to being polite and professional.
Okay, go ahead. We're getting through that. Now you know where I sit. Let's get on with it.
Okay.
Ah. This is too fun to quit.
In other words, if Joe VP Box Guy says, you know what, Mr. Lindell, you shouldn't be out there talking about this and also selling this product at the same time. Maybe people could get confused.
What do you mean selling this product at the same time? I object to that dumb answer. What are you talking about?
Well, first,
I didn't go out there, melt down our machines and buy a pillow. I mean, what is wrong with you?
In other words, if Joe VP Box Guy.
I think you know what they're talking about, and I know what they're talking about, but never mind. Just melting, melting, melting.
In other words, if Joe VP Box Guy says, you know what, Mr. Lindell?
Nah, it's a repeat. He said, I wonder, is Mr. Mythpillow a customer of Crazy Days Self-Crucifixion Emporium? Because he's about to pogo stick right up onto the cross.
Anything I do. That's the way to, because I'm so branded. It's like, you know, you're branded as a frivolous lawyer. Anything you do, well, you'll be branded as that, because that's all I know about you right now. So go. I mean, you know, I don't know what you're saying. You're trying to associate that anything I say becomes part of my pillow. That's not true. Forget all that.
Not sure, Mike.
Non-responsive.
No, but it's disgusting when you sit here. I'm branded as now Mike, election, not my pillow guy. It's Mike, the opposite.
Mike, we just got to slow it down.
I know, but it just pisses me.
His lawyer finally showed up.
They understand.
So disgusting.
You don't remember my question, do you?
Yeah, the question is, do people know you as the my pillow guy, blah, blah, blah. I just gave my answer. No, they know me over here as this guy that's trying to save our country, but because of lawfare and dirty things that Eric Coomer did on that one day, which that's when I called him out, I can't go on my stage. I can't. My company has been hurt so bad because of people like this Eric Coomer. So bad. This guy, in tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars.
You don't remember my question, do you?
Forget all that.
Not sure, Mike.
You don't remember my question, do you? No, he doesn't. Because, well, this is your brain. This is your brain on drugs.
Right there, page 36. Page 36. where I called you lawyers just as bad as him. I called you guys criminals.
You did?
Right there.
You did? Oh. Well, we'll get that into the motion, too. Because, see, this is all supporting evidence for the motion for attorney's fees and costs and sanctions.
Yeah, using, you know, the company MyPillow to make that statement, right?
After the lawsuit, Mr. Twister, after I was sued, everything in here in your little lawsuit, other than that one little paragraph, everything I said came after he sued me, after Coomer served his papers.
We don't need to replow that, okay? I've heard you say that.
Well, then I'm just telling you. So that's what, you know, using MyPillow. After.
You know who this deposition is for? It's not for plaintiff's counsel. It's not even really for the judge. It's for defense counsel. Because when they go to sit down and begin negotiating, plaintiff's counsel is going to look at defense counsel, Billable Rick, Darlene, Steve, back me up, tell me if I'm wrong. You're going to put that on the stand? You know I can call him to the stand, right? This isn't a criminal trial. And the jury's going to watch him melt down just like he did on the deposition. And if he says anything different from the deposition, we'll show him melting down in the deposition video. Here's a number. Have your agitated client put that on a certified check, and this all goes away.
And it's a joke. You know, shoving it back in you guys' face, going, "Oh, you think MyPillow benefited from this? Give me a break. Talk to them employees that are trying to support their families. You guys are disgusting. What else you got?" It's kind of a sad day for you, isn't it, to see how bad MyPillow's sitting, and you're trying to make it look like this was some grand thing to make money. It's just sad. It really is. It's sad. This is probably the most frivolous lawsuit in the history of the United States, and I mean that.
I'm sure he does mean that. I have no doubt that he means that. It isn't, of course. Far more frivolous suits have been filed. Many of them by his bosom buddy, Nitwit Nero. We could be on this for the rest of the night. But we're not gonna. But we hadn't had a Mr. Meth Pillow update in a while. Oh, really? Hi, Dr. Freud. Ralph. Yes. Oh, my God. Mike Lindell is melting down. And we're not anywhere. No, there's more. There's so many more clips. Lee in New York points out Mike Lindell's speech pattern. He obviously is not sleeping well. He must be resting his head on, wait for it, MyPillow. Have you ever tried one of those things? Nobody's ever gotten a decent night's sleep on that. No. So, there's a part of me that wants to continue this, but I'm not gonna, because we have a front porch to do. Let's see. Let me see. And I have to get everything all. Yep, we're good. Because we found out the hard way, if I connect the front porch, then when I disconnect, the front porch goes away. And that's no good. Sorry, waiting for the connection. In that time, I might note we're almost halfway through the program. I filibustered into the 20 minutes into the second hour. We have $825 to go in fundraising. And bills waiting. Yeah, because we basically run a month behind. So if we could knock some of that out, it would be fantastic. Here, let me, well, hold on. Okay, maybe I can join call. Hey, am I in there? Okay, Roger's muted.
Yes, you're in.
Ah, there's. Hey, how are you, Roger?
Good. You expect me to follow that ass out?
He was. I mean, is it just me or did he sound a little wasted, or a lot wasted?
I think he was totally lit. But he's an asshole. Like many people who have only worked for themselves and have always been the boss, there is a certain arrogance that makes them incapable of playing nice with others. Donald Trump has that. Mike Lindell has that. The manager at the feed store where I worked for a while. Was the same thing, the owner-manager. They'd been born with a silver spoon in their mouth, pissed off that it wasn't platinum, and had only worked for themselves all their life and never had a board of directors or anything they had to answer to. And whatever decision they made was their decision, and fuck everybody else. And he's got that same attitude.
Yeah, he does, and I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but drug addiction leaves its mark, and I think that some of what you heard there, yeah, he's an asshole, and he is so far up Nitwit Nero's ass that you can see his smiling face when Nitwit Nero yawns, but I think some of it's brain rot.
Probably from too much cocaine up the nose.
I mean, he had a coke problem. We joke about it being Mr. Meth Pillow, but yeah.
I honestly think that Trump's not going to escape this.
I mean, we're not. I mean, this is not with regard to Trump. That was with regard to him being sued in relation to his actions and nothing actually to do with Trump. It's just his own madness.
Oh, okay, Mr. My Pillow.
Yeah, Mr. Meth Pillow. Although, frankly, you can watch this deposition and easily imagine that to the same extent that plaintiff's counsel will look at Mr. Meth Pillow's counsel and say, "You're not really going to put that guy on the stand, are you?" That it's something similar, you know, because Nitwit Nero this week said,
"Oh, I'm definitely going to testify. I'm so going to testify."
There's not a competent, and competence doing a lot of heavy lifting there, granted, but there's not a competent lawyer who is going to put Nitwit Nero on the stand. Because it would be, and it's not just me, I mean, Joyce Vance on MSNBC a couple of days ago said, it would be legal malpractice to put your client on the stand to testify under oath if, in fact, your client is Donald J. Trump. I mean, it would probably even merit a sidebar from the bench saying,
"Yeah,
counsel, I want you to understand that you are moving into some perilous waters. Do you understand that, counsel?
Yes. Do you want to hear something, Robin, that I ran across on YouTube the other day by accident?
What's that?
Oh, a video shot in 2019 before the 2020 election, and it was Lindsey Graham, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Mitch McConnell, and I can't remember the fifth Republican senator's name, but it was a video showing them all of things that they said about Trump in 2019. They were all calling him a xenophobe, narcissistic, wannabe dictator. And now those same five people today are like, I'm on his side in this case.
Ugh.
I'm thinking, okay, what the hell does Trump supposedly have on them that is so bad that they're that terrified of him?
No, it's what he has on him, but they are so terrified of him that they'll crawl in his shit as far as he'll walk.
My stepfather thinks that the CIA is going to try and get rid of Trump just like they did Kennedy.
Oh, dear God, are we going to go down that rabbit hole this early on Friday?
I'm like, I don't think the CIA is going to have anything to do with it. I think his own party will get rid of him.
I don't think it's any of that. They're afraid of his followers. That's who they're afraid of.
They're running around out there. We had Matt Gaetz, we had Mike Huckabee talking about bullets, ammunition boxes instead of bullets or ballots. This will be the last election decided at the ballot box instead of by bullets. You know, that was Mike Huckabee. Yesterday it was Matt Gaetz saying, you know, I'd hate for it to wind up in bloodshed, but, you know, it just might. Those aren't dog whistles. Those are fucking foghorns.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's got it. He doesn't have anything on anybody. I just think.
Hold on, Steve. Let me back up on that. I do think there are people who have things on people. I will always think that. I think, but, you know, if you go back to what we've said for a very long time, it is worth remembering that the Russian hackers hacked both the RNC server and the DNC server. They turned over the DNC server materials to WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks in turn sent them public. But my personal theory is they held on to the RNC stuff because that's where the good shit was. That's where the stuff they could use to twist arms and use, you know, the Russian word kompromat.
For sake of argument, I will agree with you. I don't have any idea. I'm not disagreeing or agreeing. But I don't think that has anything to do with what Lindsey, et cetera, are doing. I think they're doing it because they're afraid of... I mean, these people were going to hang Mike Pence. Let's remember that. I mean, Mike Pence was afraid to get in the car, the limo, with his Secret Service detail. Mike Pence is a Looney Tune, but he's probably not stupid. And he's smart enough to know that his Secret Service detail was not on his side. And those are the same people who have the guns to do something to all these people. I'm not saying there's not stuff out there that the Russians have. The question or the issue is, why are they doing this? And I think it has to do with fear. I mean, these people, they've made no bones about, you know, wanting to come after people. They've done it. We don't have to wonder about what they might do. They've done it. And On a side note, I have to say I agree with some of the shit that Lindell said, that had he not had money,
the suit wouldn't have been filed?
Wouldn't have been filed. And, they, you know, this just go ahead with discovery. Well, and I don't know that that's what happened. I mean, although I will tell you, I've seen that. I've seen judges just sit on shit for whatever reason, violate the rules, violate the law in an effort to get parties to settle, or because the judge just, you know, they might get a case of Alitoism where they think, oh, I don't have, there are no rules. I don't need to stay.
Well, but let's back up to a minute with what you agree with Mr. Meth Pillow on. I mean, that's very low level kind of, and I'm not discounting what you're saying, but yeah, I mean, kinda. With depending on the jurisdiction, with concepts of joint and several liability, and concepts of contributory negligence or various other ways of sorting it out. You know, pure contributory negligence. I forget the other terms. It's been a long time. But basically, it boils down to sue them all and let the jury sort them out. And there are some, forms of negligence, as you know, where if you find 1% negligence against a defendant who might just be poor as Job's turkey and brokered in the Ten Commandments, you know what you can do? You can get, and I know you know this, Steve, you can get every damn dime out of the richest defendant there,
mm-hmm.
if they've got any exposure, according to the jury. So maybe broke ass over here is 80% negligent, and really big corporation of America is 10% negligent. But depending on the jurisdiction, you can get the whole 100% from the 10% negligent corporation.
Right.
So
well.
Well, hold on, Steve. You get my point.
I get your point.
He was wrong. If he was a broke ass, he might still be in the suit because there might be a deeper pocket to go after.
Right.
And so what it boils down to is that, I mean, that lawyer knew what his behavior was going to be.
Oh, hell. Yeah, I know. I'm sitting there. What I couldn't understand is why his lawyer, well, I suspect that his own lawyer probably had that talk with him a number of times and said, look, you can't be a schmuck here. You might want to be.
But you can't. You've got to keep it together. And you can. And there are some clients that you can woodshed until hell won't hold them.
Wait a minute. Woodshed until hell won't hold them. That's got to be a West Virginia-ism.
Well, I think it is.
That's fantastic. That's Cal Bill worthy as far as I'm concerned.
Well, thank you.
What?
But it's not, in the end, all the woodshedding in the world is not going to make any difference, and it's a goddamn deposition, and you're going to get, in a deposition, you've taken them, I've taken them. Mm-hmm. I know Billable's taken them. You know, as the deposing counsel, you can ask the question, and the fucker has to answer it. And the more he obfuscates, the more reasonable it becomes for the judge to impose sanctions.
Right. And I don't think people understand that there really are very few legitimate objections in a deposition.
Right. You put your objection on the record and move on.
And all, you know, it's part of discovery. It's not part of it's not evidentiary in and of itself.
No, so, and there's no jury sitting there to be prejudiced by
right.
things like hearsay.
Yep. I actually had people object because something was hearsay, and I remember saying to them, that's not a valid objection.
But the thing is, you know, we weren't just rolling. Those were clips. Those were the clips being used.
I got it.
But we only heard once from his pettifogger, once.
Yeah.
And that was it's just that's how the process goes, Mike. I mean, we just gotta
Yeah, that one little mention from his pettifogger for all the world had me immediately thinking of Group Captain Mandrake talking to General Ripper, saying, "A little cold water on the back of the neck and the code. That's what we need, Jack. A little cold water on the back of the neck and the code." Right.
Yeah. By the way, my retainer's bin needs to be replenished. That'll be $50,000.
Yeah, Mike. See, I mean, this is why I got the money up front, honey, because you're paying for both sides' lawyers. Dipshit.
By the way, I wanted to ask, do you want me to explain why I agree with the premise of that case before Sammy Bad Breath? If nobody really, I'm not.
Well, because they're unrealized gains. They have not appreciated. They have not appreciated the profit of it because it has not actually reached their pocketbook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing. If your house appreciates, you shouldn't have to pay taxes on the appreciation of your house until you sell it. And to be honest with you, there is a better argument that you should actually pay appreciation on your house before you sell it than it is for stock. But I won't get into that.
I understand.
Because, you know.
But trying to do it preemptively, trying to get a court case in which a court will tell the Congress of the United States what the Congress may or may not do relative to its constitutional taxing authority? That doesn't sound terribly constitutional.
I mean, from a standing issue, yeah, I agree with you. And somebody has to have paid taxes on an unrealized gain before it can even get there. I guess that's what you're getting at, right?
Well, not only that, but that vaunted principle of separation of powers and, what the Republicans used to always be barking and grunting about, namely, unelected black robe judges legislating from the bench and overtaking Congress's proper constitutional powers. I heard that so much through the 80s and the 90s and the aughts. But lo and behold, here we are. And this Rivkin pettifogger wants his buddy Alito and Alito's buddy Fappy and Fappy's buddy Gorsuch and Gorsuch's buddy Balls and Strikes and Balls and Strikes' buddy Brat and Brat's buddy the Handmaid to tell Congress what it may not do with the constitutional taxing power that is granted unto it. When in fact, if we time travel, and it does seem like such a long time ago and such an innocent time, I'm so old I can remember when old Balls and Strikes wrote the opinion on the Affordable Care Act that said, well, no, the Congress does not have the power to force states to take free money. But the Affordable Care Act is constitutional under the congressional power to tax. So they clearly, at least old Balls and Strikes, clearly has a handle on the taxation power of Congress. And if Congress wants to declare unrealized gains as taxable income, they have that right.
I disagree. But that's for another day.
Well, no, I mean, why?
It's not income.
I'm not talking about whether it's income or not. I'm talking about whether or not the Congress has the power to declare it taxable.
Well, Section 61 of the Code of Federal Regulations talks in there about that, and it says, and also in the IRC. It's section 1 actually defines income, and that's not income under what's in the law there.
What about
the federal government taxes all kinds of things that aren't income?
what about the AMT, the alternative minimum tax?
Or it's still based upon that. There is zero income there.
But wait a minute, the federal government taxes all kinds of things that are not income.
No, that's not income tax.
The cigarette tax,
that's
the
not
fuel
an income
tax.
Tax.
Well,
Roger,
that don't
it's not
make
an
it on
income tax.
Well, but wait a minute.
It's under a different statute.
Unrealized capital gains.
Breathe.
Unrealized capital gains are not income. But
correct.
The federal government taxes unrealized gains, not income. The federal government already taxes non-income.
Non-income property.
It's different.
Right, but that's the whole point. This could be one of those differences.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
I know it's not what you're saying, but I'm saying, if the Congress chooses to, they could say, no, this ain't income. And we're going to tax it.
I think that would be against the law. And I don't mean against law as an illegal. I mean against law as not within Section 1 of the IRC. Sin taxes are different. That's different. It's under a different law. That's under the Commerce Clause.
Right, stock transactions unrecognized appreciation of value certainly partakes of interstate commerce.
But it's under a different section. That's under section, what is it? What constitutional amendment is that? That's different than the Commerce Clause.
My point here is, rather than go off down the stream on whether it's income, not income, whether it's under this thing or that thing or the other thing.
But that matters.
My point is, yes, it matters. What my point is that the federal government has already stated and had passed muster that they are able to tax things that are not income. Now, has Congress made the choice here, or is the lawsuit dealing with the choice in saying they can't create a tax here because it's not income, but the government, the Congress, could then say, you're right, it's not income, but we're going to tax it anyhow because we've already got these other taxes in, and this is simply an end run around going to the Supreme Court to try and prevent them from even creating the tax, acknowledging that it's not an income tax.
It's different. You're talking about two different things.
Yes.
They don't tax. Hold on. They're attempting to tax. And I'm assuming that I know what this suit's about. And I don't really. They're taxing unrealized gains under the IRC and the taxing authority under the Constitution. Remember, The amendment dealt with income tax. Sin taxes, excise taxes, are under a different law. So you can't. That's all I'm saying.
Let me ask the question a little bit differently. Has the proposed law that is being argued about been brought up under the Internal Revenue Code?
Yes.
Or under the Congress's ability to tax whatever they want to tax?
They can't tax whatever they want to tax. They can't.
They've already done it.
No, Roger. They cannot tax anything they want to tax. You have different authorities to do different things. Sin taxes, excise taxes. There is no sales tax. Those are taxes pursuant to a different part of the Constitution that the government, I will say, has the right to do. Income is a different part of the Constitution, and it defines it differently. And the IRC, which is Section 1, and, or maybe it's Section 6, it's Section 61. And all of the regulations that come out of Section 61 in the CFR define what that, that's where that authority comes from. Two different authorities. And the authority to tax the sin taxes and excise taxes is not the same authority under which they tax income. There is not just a blanket Congress can tax. No, there's not. There are two things. There's the Commerce Clause, which preexisted the, I think it's the 16th Amendment.
Yeah, the income Maybe it's tax, the, man. Yeah.
Is that what it is, the 16th Amendment?
I think it is the 16th.
That's different. Because originally it said you could only tax in proportion to the population of a state. Then they said, no, we can tax, I'll say, it, I don't actually know what this what it says. It says income. That is different than regulation of commerce. All I'm saying, I don't see them, I don't see, and it, this might be my lawyer, my lawyer hat, you know, angels dancing on the head of a pin, scrambled eggs brain talking. But I see them as two different things with the statutory and constitutional authority from two different sources.
Well, and I think just to extend this philosophical debate a little further down the line, the question is, why might Congress want to do that? And the reason Congress wants to do that is because no one has the guts to impose a meaningful degree of capital gains tax. Because, see, that's what happens when you take the... Oh, who did that on there?
Yeah, no kidding. That's gross.
When you do realize the heretofore unrealized appreciation, those are capital gains. And they result in vast wealth that is largely untouchable since the era of Republicans grunting about it as far back as pre-Reagan. Now, if we tax the living BG, so basically, there's a legitimate congressional purpose in trying to claw back some of this untaxed profit before it can disappear into the coffers of Leon Scum, for instance.
Yeah, I honestly, Robin, I love you more than my luggage, but I don't think I don't agree with that. I was going to say, I don't think it's right. It's not a matter of being right. I don't agree. I think that here's the bigger argument issue. Let's start from the policy. The policy is right now that we tax labor at a higher rate than we tax certain types of capital gains. Some capital gains wages from non-labor activities. My personal opinion is that labor should be taxed at the lowest as a matter of policy. I don't know. I couldn't tell you specifics. I don't know. But a person or any person who goes and works for a living, that should be taxed as a matter of policy lower than any kind of passive income. Because you're fucking working, and we value labor, at least I do, much more than I do somebody who's making money off of money. That is a matter of policy. And then capital gains, or anything you make, whether it's a capital gain, whether it's a appreciation on a non-residence, I think those things should be taxed as a matter of policy, higher than labor. Under the current framework, if we're not going to make that policy, then capital gains should be taxed the same way that we'll call it W. So 1099, I think it's 1099I. income, which is income from stock appreciation or even dividends, should be taxed. Actually, I think dividends are taxed at the marginal rates. W-2 should be taxed.
Right. And what
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm just not getting the words out.
Yes, and what you're getting at is basically what Jimmy's cousin Warren Buffett talks about when he says, I pay less taxes than my secretary.
Right.
Because all of his income is coming from untaxed sources. You know, kind of like a bootlegger, really.
Well, but I don't think it's like that.
Whereas she is paying directly upon her income.
Yeah. Or you know, and
there's a two-tiered... Here we are with the tears again. Makes you want to cry. See what I did there? But there's a two-tiered system whereby people who work for a living pay through the nose, and the billionaires who own timeshares in Sammy Bad Breath and Fappy Thomas pay nothing or next to nothing.
Or it's even worse than that. It's if I own a stock for more than a year, I pay the long-term capital gains rate. If I own it less than a year, you know, this is, I think, all of it should be taxed the same way. If I own it less than a year, it's counted in it counts towards my regular income. Now, on a completely different note, I think corporations should pay much higher taxes than they do. I think, number one, corporations should have I think the tax rate for corporations should be 35%. And I think we need to get rid of the allowance for stock buybacks. Those are the two real problems.
Well, yeah, and there's one other thing that I haven't brought it up in a long time, but I think it's viable. It's something Dr. Bill brought up a long, long time ago, and it still makes sense. A transaction tax.
Yeah. Let's be honest. What do we know? We already have those. We don't have them at the federal level. They're called sales taxes.
Right. A sales tax on the stock market.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, if you look at the volume of the New York Stock Exchange, you know,
Jesus Christ, my God, it's in the trillions.
Yeah.
Per day.
What deficit?
Yeah.
I mean, we could have free health care. We could have free health care. We could build new schools all over the country. We could leave no pothole unfilled. I hit one of those today in the Kroger parking lot, and it reminded me of a Christmas story when the little boy talked about, you know, there were swear words that were just circling, orbiting the earth from whenever his father had to go and bang around on the furnace in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
I hit that. I was so far into that pothole, I was afraid I was following Will and Holly and about to run into some fucking slea stacks, okay? Man, that's
well, Robin, one
reference.
Thing on your one thing on your putting in a transaction tax, the amount of transactions would dramatically drop if there were a transaction tax. At the present time, with the computerized trading, some of these volumes are so huge that if the market goes up by, say, 0.5%, they'll sell off because they can realize $500,000 of profit in that moment. And there's a lot of this buying and selling that's well under a 1% value change in the stock. And it's transferring back and forth at lightning speed. But if you put a 1% transaction tax on, the value of the stock would have to increase by maybe 2% to prompt the sale of the stock.
No, so don't put a percentage on it.
The number, well.
You put an amount. For every trade, 2 cents.
All right.
Or whatever.
Well, is that 2 cents per share or
no,
two
cents
per
transaction? or per share, or whatever you want to do.
Yeah, and I like,
you
know, the idea of per share myself.
Yeah, I mean, and to be honest with you, I don't think the volume would go down, because, at least by any significant amount, because remember something. And the other advantage of doing that is you are capturing illegal income, overseas income, that we're never going to see income tax for, that, oligarch, whoever, who has all kinds of money and who's trading stocks, oligarch, whoever, is going to start paying money for that. And, and even more than this, I think we should have a wealth tax. We don't tax wealth at all. Well, we kind of do. I mean, the only wealth tax we have is estate tax. I don't have a problem. I have more of a problem with an estate tax than I would with any kind of wealth tax or income tax or anything like that.
Oh, and by the way, there's some breaking news. Thank you to Lou in PA and Darlene. Happy news. Mark Meadows just got dunked on. You know, he had asked the federal court to remove his case there, too, in Georgia. A federal judge, the one in Georgia, Judge Jones, Steve Jones, entered an order today saying there is no federal jurisdiction over the criminal case. Meadows has not shown that the actions that triggered the state's prosecution related to his federal office. Meadows' alleged association with post-election activities was not related to his role as White House Chief of Staff or his executive branch authority. Ow.
Wow. I have only three words to say about that.
That's going to hurt.
So much winning.
So that's kind of a signpost for anybody else making that claim, up to and including Nitwit Nero.
You want to tell you what that is? That's a big, right now, all of those lawyers went, oh, shit.
And so now, because Mark Meadows jumped right out there and got himself a ruling, I mean, maybe others would disagree with me, but maybe you'd disagree with me. There is so much bad lawyering going on here.
Oh, look.
I mean, there's shit.
I don't disagree with you.
There's shit going on here that I wouldn't have been allowed to get away with in third year legal clinic. Okay? I mean.
And you know what? Go ahead, sorry.
Jumping right out there and doing it lickety split. There was no need to, but you know what he's done? And Nitwit Nero's got to be just real tickled with this, because now it's going to go up to the 11th. And a three-judge panel, maybe it'll be the same three-judge panel of maggots who overturned the injunction against...
Aileen Cannon.
Well, no. Maybe it'll be the three-judge panel that overturned the injunction against, medical care for adolescent kids in Alabama. But that still means that there is an en banc to be had. And that's what's going on with the Alabama case. I'm not trying to send us off the rails. But now it gets on a faster track to the 11th Circuit. The 11th Circuit gets it on a faster track to the Supreme Court.
And yeah, I was just going to.
And the faster it gets there,
No more delay.
The faster he winds up on the stand. Well, he's not. Come on. I mean, we talked. He can't. All those legals that are paid lots of money to say these things are right. No lawyer can put Donald Trump on the stand without the minute he gets past, my name is Donald J. Trump, I own a mansion and a yacht, has to stand up and say, Your Honor, I would like to be recused. I would like to be removed as counsel. I need to recuse myself. And the judge will know. It'll be done outside the hearing of the jury. But the judge will know that what he is being told is that every word after that coming out of his out of Trump's mouth is going to be perjury. Am I wrong?
What's that called? The loud? It's called the loud withdrawal or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you're revealing to the judge what you're not allowed to reveal to the judge.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't violate. But then again, there are ethics rules, and well, we're going to go off in the weeds, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, thank you to Christopher. Thank you so much for keeping us from being a goose egg this evening. We're down to $820 to go to get caught up this far into the month. Thank you so much, Christopher. I appreciate it. We all do. But, you know, there are even circumstances where if a defendant, a client tells his lawyer, hey, I got a great idea. You know how you've been wanting to get paid? Yeah. I'm going to go knock off the Rippy Mart tonight. You'll get paid tomorrow. That lawyer has an affirmative ethical duty to tell the court. And we don't know how many criminal enterprises, how many of these lawyers have been drawn into. We really, really, really have no idea.
You know, Robin, I was thinking this earlier, too. I was thinking, you know, this case, and then I was thinking about another case, the one up in, I think it was Minnesota or Wisconsin, the Rittenhouse case. I was thinking, please, God, Lord, do not let us get a judge like that in this case that let that kid off.
Oh no, and Aileen Cannon is a joker in the deck, but even she is going to be, she's going to wind up in a box in a corner, and she won't even be able to save him, I don't think, because as compelling as what's going on in Georgia is, and as compelling as what's going on with the four counts in D.C. are, the shit in Florida is open and shut. You know, he can go on Hewitt all he wants and say, all you have to do is read the Presidential Records Act. He hasn't read Presidential Records and Act in a row. He's saying things. It's kind of like when Fappy Thomas quit reading the newspaper and started only getting his news from Rush Limbaugh and Insurrectionist. He hasn't read shit in years. All Nitwit Nero is doing is listening to, you know, the last babbling bobbleheads who will speak on his behalf on cable news. And he's got to be absolutely horrified when, because he does. He tunes into MSNBC frequently. We know that for a fact from like 2017. I witnessed it personally.
Well, just remember, he had the PD presidential daily brief cut down to a couple paragraphs and pictures because he got bored reading. Obama used to read 5 or 6 pages a day, daily, if not more, about the PDF and see what's going on.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Steve, you received the cowbell from Billable Rick. That was for the so much winning. And when Christopher made sure we weren't a goose egg this evening, that was for the Will and Holly reference and the Slee Stacks. Because it was
that was pretty good.
Well,
that
was pretty good. You guys were like you were at a funeral. I thought that was quality.
Oh, it was.
But
yes,
Christopher got it. By God, Christopher, you restored my faith in humanity, honey.
Yes,
I got it. I didn't want to interrupt. Slee Stacks. That's hilarious.
And little Chaka.
Chaco.
I'm sorry. I remember that Saturday morning. Horrible, horrible, awful, awful show.
But it was deliciously awful.
Oh, it was horrible.
Okay, and who played Chaco?
I don't know who it was.
Wasn't that Ron Howard's brother? Now, I'm not cheating with the internet or anything, but...
Was it? I don't know.
Marshall, Will, and Holly on a routine expedition.
Oh, what did we say about singing?
Yeah, $820 worth of don't do that.
And I know I've already emailed you about this. I just want media to hear. I was really upset when I tried to get that stuff. I was like, I don't know what they did, but they completely changed how you used to be able to buy stuff.
Oh, yeah. So you're probably going to have to...
I'll just go there and get it. And then the other, you know, they don't sell the peach cream cheese at the site. So, you know, I'll go there and get it. And I think when I sent them to you, I think that's what I did. Because I think I actually vacuum sealed them myself in my
You did.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to stop talking because I've talked way too much already.
Okay. Well, I will then I will thank Henry. Thank you, Henry. We are now down below $800. We're down to $795 to go. So now it's only $795 worth of not singing. You know that comes from an old Marx Brothers bit, right? I think it's from Night at the Opera, where Chico's the leader of a band, and Harpo says, it's something about, you know, we get $50 a night if we play. He says, but if we rehearse, it's more. And Groucho says something like, what do you get if you don't rehearse? And he says, oh, you can't afford that. So we got $795 of not singing left.
Hey, Robin, where's Chris at?
Christopher, I don't know. I think last week he was hiking.
Oh.
Clint Howard. Was it Clint Howard? Ralph sent me the IMDb link.
That wasn't the guy who played in Star Trek, one of those episodes.
That's awesome. Okay. Clint Howard's been in like 3 or 4 Star Trek episodes. He was in one. You know, he was in one of season 2 of Strange New Worlds.
Is that the one where he played the little guy who was like?
Yeah, he looked at first he was this terrifying long faced dude. There's somebody on MSNBC that looks a lot like him, but I'm not going to mention her name. And it turned out that he wasn't that at all. He was this cute little baby that was Clint Howard.
Yeah, and he was the only one who lived on the planet. Am I remembering
that
right?
No, he was the only one in the ship.
Oh, okay.
It was the Tholian web.
Okay.
Yeah, Lou taking us back to the taxation. Yeah, excise taxes. The federal estate tax is considered to be an excise tax.
So, Fannie Willis hasn't, indicted Lady G and the rest of them, but could she possibly still do that, or is that
that grand jury has been, I think, discharged, so Lady G is in the clear?
No, fuck.
According to a spokesperson on MSNBC, apparently the statute of limitations over this election shenanigans expires in 2026. So there is a fair amount of ability for further indictments to show up because the indictment only has to come before the end of the statute of limitations and the trial can come after that. So once this first round goes through of potentially the most guilty, we could see another round.
Yeah, I don't think we're done with the January 6th commission just yet.
Yeah, or maybe she's maybe it's not Fannie Willis, but maybe it's in the purview of Alvin Bragg. The federal case because between the states. So if Lindsey Graham and Jim Jacket Off Jordan and all these cluster fucking assholes, maybe you could possibly do that, but maybe there's too much political pressure. Who knows?
I mean, I think at this point, all of the main characters are on the bus, so to speak.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Except Ginsurrectionist.
Well, you know, I was doing some quick research. That is still floating around as a possibility.
Yeah, it is.
God,
Harris in Reno has not called to tell me I've lost my bet.
I'll tell you what, I would cream my pants if that happened.
Ew.
And I'm sorry, I know I just spoiled dinner and probably dessert.
That was dinner in the Pacific Daylight Time Zone, yeah. Dessert in the Mountain Daylight Time Zone, and hey, honey, let's have a snack while we watch TV. In the Eastern and Central time zones.
But who wouldn't find that just totally, just delicious? Ah, just awesome.
Doesn't Starbucks put that in their coffee or something like that?
Can.
Hey, he started it.
Okay.
Yes, that was good.
Bad, Ken. Bad.
Oh, I'm a good boy.
Go stand in the corner.
Hell no, I ain't gonna.
Fuck you, I ain't gotta. You're not the mom of me. Jesus. Well, this has been a scintillating little discussion so far.
Yeah.
Let me see if I've got anything else down here to sort of... we haven't talked about Ken Paxton. Crooked as a dog's hind leg in Texas.
I was just thinking about Britovo, by the way, so I'm hoping that mention of Ken Paxton will conjure John.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Ryan Vassar is a whistleblower testifying in the impeachment trial of Ken Dog's Hind Leg Paxton. Photographed by the Texas Tribune wearing a lovely fuchsia print, floral print tie. Just describing, just theater of the mind, painting a picture. He testified this morning that Ken Paxton's office kept a blacklist of reporters that they handled differently than other reporters. Among other things, the Dallas Morning News' reporter Lauren McGowey, who's been on the Attorney General beat for a decade, was actually on that blacklist. And this Ryan Vassar was being crossed. He had formerly been Deputy Attorney General for Legal Counsel. He started testifying yesterday. He continued today. And on cross-examination under pettifogger Mitch Little, representing Crooked Ken, not you, Ken, they introduced a bunch of text messages in which they talked about Lauren McGowey's coverage of Paxton's activity relative to the FBI.
Wow.
This smarmy, self-indulgent sack of sin may yet burn.
Go back to something you said earlier about Big Orange Pumpkin.
Yeah, sure.
So, wait a minute. Is he really planning on representing himself in this case?
No.
I'm about to say, because he doesn't have the first
No, he's got, of, no well, he's got a shit ton of lawyers. But the problem is, you know, he told Hugh Hewitt,
oh, I'll definitely be testifying.
Because he lies as easily as he breathes. He lies the same way he breathes. It's not, it's part of his autonomic nervous system. He doesn't even have to think about it. He just lies.
I hope he does testify and really incriminate himself.
The alien prions control his brain.
But there is some good news. Look at this. Here's a country actually dealing with a fucking Nazi. I've watched for years the AFD, the Alternative für Deutschland Party. And one of the fierier Führers of that group, leader, am I right, Steve? How's your German?
I'm sorry?
Führer, isn't that leader?
Leader, yeah.
Yeah, so it's still, yeah. So over in the eastern state of Thuringia, a guy named
Hey, Robin, Bjorn, can I correct another thing?
Bjorn Höcke, yeah, go ahead.
It's Thuringen. Thuringia is Thuringen.
Thuringia.
Thuringen. T-H-U umlaut R-I-N-G-E-N.
No, it's T-H-U-R-I-N-G-I-A,
That's the English.
Okay, okay, Thuringen. But he's going to be charged with criminal incitement because members of parliament voted to strip him of his parliamentary immunity today.
Good.
Again, Bjorn Höcke, H-O-E-C-K-E, and once again, it's the same. All Nazis have the same excuses. Whether it's, all fascists have the same excuses, whether it's Trump or Mike Lindell or the haired dude here. He said, I have been targeted for expressing the wrong opinion and questioning the ruling class. This is because when there was a violent incident somewhere else in Germany that wasn't Thuringen, he couldn't help himself and posted that the perpetrator likely suffers from that widespread disease among immigrants, which makes those affected shout, Allahu Akbar, and so thoroughly distorts their perception that they view their infidel hosts as unworthy of life. And I bring that up because your mayor, Steve, is a dick. Eric Adams?
No argument here. That's what happens when you elect a cop.
I didn't think you'd be disagreeing. The nerve of him to come out and say, well, these immigrants that are coming to New York City are going to destroy our city as we know it, and the federal government ain't doing nothing to help.
Oh, my God.
And sat there bitching and pissing and moaning about the federal government and not saying shit about the little fascist assholes who are putting those innocent migrants on a fucking bus and sending them to New York City and Chicago and elsewhere. Oh, I saw that and it pissed me off. I had suspected that guy was a penis wrinkle for a long time. But that was the confirmation.
What an asshat.
But, you know, little cowbell for that German parliamentary body that decided to deal with a fucking fascist piece of garbage. It's kind of nice. It's inspiring to see once in a while. But I want to shift. I want to shift gears for a minute because we have, from time to time on this program, run clips from the Juice Media. They're out of Australia, and they are brutally accurate and scathingly effective. Who's doing that?
I don't know. Does guest user?
Oh, okay. Oh, somebody's arriving, and I don't know why I'm getting... I thought I had the notifications turned off. Maybe that's me. Let me see here. I don't know who all's in there, but anyway. They have now turned their sights on Canada, and they are no less brutally effective. This is some good stuff. Let's take a minute for it, or two, or five. And by the way, thank you to Henry and Christopher. We are now down to $795 to go. The more we raise, the less the hole, the more we fill in the hole by the time Moran Monday gets here. And gosh, $96 in any combination from anybody, $96 means we're not $1,000 in the hole come Monday, which would be fantastic.
Visit Canada, land of beauty and home to countless vanishing wonders. Affordable housing, the green belt, the news, honest prices, honesty in general, and of course, trees that aren't on fucking fire. It's also home to an array of dangerous parasites. A message from the Government of Canada. Hello, you probably know us as the peaceful, polite, nature-loving country with the woke babe PM and the friendly horsey police. But actually, as Bay said,
Canada is a major oil and gas producing country.
And if you get between us and the oil and gas, we'll politely kick your fucking door in.
We're breaking down the door.
Any questions? Good. Now please rise for our national anthem.
Just out for a rip, are you butt? Just out for a rip.
As you know, we're experiencing the worst fires in our history. But rest assured, we're searching for the arsonists. And when we find them, we'll give them billions in subsidies. We know who they are. Some of us even work for them. What's that? You thought our job was to keep Canadians safe? Aw, sweetie. Our job's to keep them safe from Canadians. Our prime marketer doesn't even try to hide it. Like that time he declared a climate emergency and then approved an oil pipeline the very next day. Cool and normal. A message from the government of British Columbia. Visit BC, home to yep, another pipeline. Introducing the Coastal Gas Link. If completed, it'll carry fracked gas from the Montney Play to the coast so that a bunch of foreign companies can export it and make a lot of the ching-ching. Don't worry, BC will earn billions in revenue too, which once you subtract the billions of subsidies we gave those guys to build it, comes to approximately... fuck all, eh? Is it safe? Of course not. Here's a destroyed wetland, because going around it would have cost a bit more. Here's a salmon stream nuked by a landslide. And here's our regulator giving zero fucks because it's been captured by the gas industry. Will it cause emissions? Put it this way. This is the tar sands. And this is the Montney Play, Canada's largest carbon bomb. Are we insane? Absolutely. That's why we've already approved three more pipelines here once Coastal Gas Link is completed. The only thing standing in the way of this massive fuck you to every living thing on the planet is a sovereign First Nation that has the temerity to still exist, the Wet'suwet'en. They've told Coastal Gas Link to piss off, because this is their yinta, their land, which is completely and utterly, true, according to our own Supreme Court. But don't worry, Bay is committed to reconciliation. Unless it clashes with his holidays, of course. And nothing says reconciliation like raids, constant surveillance, harassment, and threats. Relax, it's not like we're waging a war on the Wet'suwet'en. We've outsourced that role to a message from the U.S. Army. Did you know that before serving as CIA director and getting his ass fired for boning his biographer, this four-star Army general wrote our field manual for how to wage war on local populations? We used it in Iraq and Afghanistan. So when this Wall Street firm, which owns Coastal GasLink, hired Dave to run their internal CIA, he said, hey, I'm a massive piece of shit. Let's use those same tactics against this peaceful sovereign nation defending its lands. Tactics like buying off band councils to get their consent. As Dave said, money is ammunition. delegitimizing those who can't be bought off. Props to BC's court for helping with that. And most importantly, get local forces to do the fighting. To put a friendly face on a foreign campaign. And who better than Canada's friendly horsey police? Except now they look like this. Meet their commander, whose previous job was running similar ops in Afghanistan. Yep, under General Petraeus. And lastly, kicking in their door and dragging people off their lands. By the way, no conflict of interest with the Mounties Pension Fund having millions invested in this pipeline. Coastal GasLink. And that's how you make Canadians subsidize a pipeline through unceded Indigenous territory in the midst of a climate emergency, all for the profit of foreign corporations and a Wall Street warlord. Canada. Enjoy your visit. And remember, you too can support this shitfuckery by continuing to do business with these banks who are funding it. Whatever you do, don't support the Wet'suwet'en at yintaaccess.com and unistoten.com. Visit Canada. P.S. We're also arming the Saudis. A message from the government of...
YintaAccess.com and unistoten.camp, C-A-M-P. That's brutal.
Wow. John's here. John's here.
Where's that guy? Corny.
Hey, there he
John
is.
Bridavo.
Hello, Robin. How are you?
Fine as frog hair, split four ways, and swept straight back.
Ooh, that's mighty fine, darling. That's mighty fine. I'm glad. I'm glad you're doing well.
How about you?
What's going on besides Mike Lindell screaming at the damn? I was listening to you. I kept telling my wife, can you believe that shit? That's Mike Lindell screaming that shit. Somebody ought to slap him.
You ambulance chaser.
Really? Yes. How you been?
I'm good. Well, I'm not lying. It's been a little tough. I took Labor Day and Tuesday off just because I was freaking exhausted, John.
Damn, that don't sound good.
Well, just going through some stuff.
Yeah, that ain't never good.
Best friend and business partner entered hospice. We've been pals for over 20 years, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got the stitches out of my back.
Yay! So,
that's good.
How many stitches?
Nine. Yeah, it was fun. But yeah, my truck's broke down. That, you know, I could give you a damn list, make you feel better, but I don't think it will.
I know.
It's life, baby. It's life. What can we do? We adapt, we overcome, we move forward. That's all we can do.
Yeah, well, you know, as they say around here in the rock climbing community, climb or die.
That's it. You got a choice? No, not really. It's either up or down and how fast you want to go about it.
Hey. Don't discount the sudden stop, John.
Yeah, well, that's what gets you.
Hey, John, how's it going? It's been a long time.
I've been trying to stay busy. Believe me, there's enough to keep me busy, but...
What's going on down there with the idiot governor lately?
Ah, well, it's not our governor. It's our ex-attorney general down here, Ken Paxton. He's the one in the news.
Yeah. We were just talking about today's testimony where it was revealed that Ken Paxton had a journalism blacklist.
Do tell. Yeah, he had a list, all right. I think he had several lists going.
Then there was the little black book. And apparently his estranged wife showed up wearing a red dress to the trial, and she's a member of the Texas Senate.
That's his wife. That's his wife.
I think she might be what is the phrase? A woman hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
Well, thank goodness she doesn't get a vote. She doesn't get a vote in his trial.
What, because she's conflicted out?
I believe that might be something to do with it. I don't know.
Wow.
Ethics, you know.
You mean to tell me people get conflicted out in Texas, but Sammy Bad Breath?
That's supposed to happen. Doesn't always happen. Shit, he just gave a $3 million donation to, what's his name? Damn it, the president of the Senate, Lieutenant Governor. I don't know, Robin. It's Friday. It's Beer and Bud Friday. Where do you think my head is right now?
With the beer and with the bud.
That's right.
Well, you know, I no longer do beer because girls got to count carbs.
Well, that's why I'm taking up your slack.
But I have discovered, and I'm not going off the rails or anything, but I noticed that all my girlfriends were drinking them White Claw and Topo Chico hard seltzers.
Oh, yeah?
And I said, are they any good? And they said, why we love them, and all the cute girls drink them. And I said, hand me one.
Well, there you go.
And there's only two carbs in a whole can. But it's just like drinking a beer, only it tastes like blackberries or black cherries or watermelons or tangerines.
Tastes a whole lot better,
doesn't it? Well, they're refreshing. They are very refreshing. And so I don't have to walk around with a glass of club soda, you know, with a lime on the thing to, you know. Although I still do that sometimes, too.
Yeah, well, I limit my beer consumption, but I catch up on the bud consumption, so. You know, you got to have your excesses in life for what's worth.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But it's a nice way to be social.
That's true. If I remember that, I don't have much chance to be social anymore. Well, we have a Blue Dot family meeting every once in a while, or we get together. Other than that, not so much. Like you, darling, live way out in the country.
True enough. Yeah, I mean,
to...
you know, it's a 30-mile round trip to go down to the settlements for provisions.
Yep. So, what else is going on? Do you see that case out of Philadelphia? Did you see about the shooting of Eddie? That last name gets me.
Irelli? No, I don't think so.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, I knew. I was watching the news this morning. You know, this morning the news was the grand jury report coming out of Georgia. And, oh, look at here. They had 39 they wanted to indict. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden they break in for the chief police up there in Philadelphia, who is coming out talking about Eddie Irelli. I'm saying that wrong, and I know I am. He was shot to death on August 14th after a stop. This kid had just come in from Puerto Rico, no criminal record or nothing. He turned wrong way down a one-way street, and he stopped. And the video shows a cop pull up and stop.
Well, yeah, did this actually happen a couple of years ago, and it's finally coming to fruition? Or is this
new? This just happened August 14th of this year. And the police came out at the time of the shooting and said that the gentleman exited his vehicle and attempted to assault the officers with a knife. So the officers had to respond and shoot him. And that was the story right up until the family's lawyers got hold of a camera from a restaurant across the street where it shows the whole damn thing. And you see the car stop. The door is closed. The window is up. The police officer stops, gets out of the passenger side vehicle. It takes him 5 seconds before you hear the first shot. He runs around the front of the vehicle yelling, "Show me your hands. I'm going to fucking shoot you." And as soon as that comes out of his mouth, he pulls the trigger 6 fucking times and kills the kid. That was
Jesus Christ.
The chief of police was adamantly trying to call for calm. The family wanted the video released without redaction and without blurring, and they did. And the body cam footage of the officer, who has now been he turned himself in, being charged with murder, several counts, intentional homicide, disregard for life and everything, several charges. This all happened today. But they were doing it in a way to try to prevent this nation from going nuts when they see this video, because clearly it shows the video of the officer approach the vehicle with the window up and fire 6 shots through the window and then drag him out of the car. They drag him out of the car, put him in a cop car, and drive to the hospital. He's dead. He's dead for turning the wrong way on a one-way street.
Yeah, Eddie Irizarry.
There you go.
Yeah.
Watch that video, Robin. It'll piss you off. It'll piss you off. You know, it's on the same line as George Floyd. If we had not seen the video of George Floyd, yeah, it would have gone away. Nothing to see here. This is the same thing.
You probably thought it was an older story, Robin, because they're all so many of these that...
Yeah, they follow the same fact pattern. Yeah, I thought maybe they're... Yeah, because I remembered something similar. Maybe it was Pittsburgh.
Yes, this is not the first time this has
happened. No, no. But by God, there's... Well, but that's the thing. What appears to be irrefutable video evidence, by the time the cop union gets done with it, may not be.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they've already spoke up. If you make this move and charge him, every officer in the world is going to be under danger. No, no. I don't think so. But on that same token, and as I spoke about this earlier today, this is our society, baby. I mean, can you really blame the cop? Hell, everybody's got a gun. I got a gun. You got a gun. They got a gun. Everybody's got a gun. Shit, they're just waiting to shoot each other. You run up to a vehicle. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, it's the society we fucking live in. We built it. We live in it. That's what's so scary. I tried to tie it to the case out of Georgia, and where Lindsey Graham and Kelly Loeffler and them could have been indicted. Was it that little saying, we get the government we deserve? We vote them in. We're the ones that make the decision. It's the same way within our society. We make the rules. We make the laws. We live with the results of that. And that's the result of it. We have cops that are so fast on the draw, baby. So fast.
Well, and this is you know, definitely not the show to come to for the Cop Defense League. But you know part of why they're so trigger happy? Part of why they are so quick on the draw? Because of the NRA.
Yes.
The NRA wants the cops are without fail the biggest gang in any municipality. And now they know that there are people out there, and they're not like gang members. They're just ordinary assholes. And they've got armament of an equal quality to theirs.
Yes, they do.
And if you factor that in with brown skin, and it doesn't matter if a black kid is 6 years old or 60, by the time the cops get done describing him, he is fucking Clubber Lang from the, you know, from the Rocky movie.
He's got blood dripping from his mouth.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus.
It's frustrating. I tried to do a talk about the Georgia case and everything and how that relates, but that's not where my mind was. My mind was on this case, because how many times does this happen? Judge, jury, and executioner within 5 seconds. With the window up, the officer said he charged at him with a knife. Really? And they did find a knife in the car. Was he going to stab you through the glass? Did you not take the time to notice that there was glass between you and
him? Yeah, was it an assegai? Was it a straight razor that he had in his shoe? Jesus Christ.
What you were just talking about, Robin. It's the environment that we create. The NRA has pumped this country so full of guns. You did the Second Amendment? Oh, kiss my ass. They ought to reverse them numbers. It's the First Amendment to own that weapon, baby.
Yeah, as far as they're concerned, it's the only amendment.
Yes.
But I am never going to shut up about the. I don't give a good goddamn about the fat dead Tony Scalia. I don't give a shit about any of our most puissant, dread sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties. They're fucking wrong, because the word own, O-W-N, does not exist, does not occur in the Second Amendment. Keep and bear is a completely different concept from own.
believe it starts with a well-regulated militia. Well-regulated.
Yeah, militia. that just meant if you were a member of the militia, you could take your musket home.
But nowadays that means Bubba's backyard brigade. You know, the badasses.
Right. Meal Team 6, John.
Right. Yep, that's them.
But I do have another story you might find interesting. Thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs just jumped in, got us down to $770 to go. Thank you so much.
I'll help Robin out. This shit's not easy, and it's the way she pays her bills, baby. There ain't no easier way to say it.
And if we manage to knock it down by $71 more before the program ends, we don't have a $1,000 fundraising hole on Monday, so I can cipher that much.
Get a hole. Hell, let's lock out the whole damn thousand.
A 19-minute community-made miracle on Friday on the front porch? It's been known to happen.
It's been known to happen before. That's what miracles are, baby.
Yes, indeed.
They don't happen on their own. They need help.
Well, I wanted to mention another thing to you, because you'll probably only hear this on the horn.
Okay.
Somebody I know had an opportunity to hear Tommy the Tuber speak today.
Tommy Tubbishit?
Tommy Tubbishit, yes. And he was given a keynote address to a group of scientists. You can imagine how that was.
Yeah, what's he doing with scientists? They don't need no science.
And so he got up there at the podium, and he started lecturing about how, you know, the EPA is, and now these are scientists concerned with the environment. The EPA is trying to destroy business in Alabama and the United States of America. And that's why I'm out there up there fighting for the state of Alabama to have the dirtiest water in the country and the dirtiest air.
Be proud of that shit.
Because of them job killing regulations. And along the way, now, he did not mention his military holds. Afterward, there were three questions that were pre-canned, things like, oh, Senator Tuberville, how is it that you are so star-spangled, stars fell on Alabama, wonderful?
Why does God worship you so much?
Why does Jesus love you more than everybody else, Tommy Tuberville?
Everybody else.
That kind of canned crap, but he did go... And it takes some gall, and I was actually thinking about this because I was talking to you, John, and you're a veteran. He had the unmitigated gall to get up there on stage and talk about how, well, you know, I work for everybody in Alabama, and I'm trying to bring Alabama values to Washington. And you know what? I am sure enough, I tell you what, I do something. You know, when I got there to Washington, I didn't know shit from Shinola. I had no idea what was going on, but you know what? I know I got to fight for our veterans.
Really? Really? Hey, Tommy Tubbishit, shove it up your ass. How's that shit? Fight for our veterans. Are you shitting me? The man's doing a one-man war against the military. Don't sell me his patriotic bullshit. He was a football coach. That's what he was, and that's all he ever was. But, oh, my God, we got to elect him as a senator. Are you shitting me?
And the most hilarious part of it is he's not just a senator. John Brudevaux, he is the senior senator from Alabama.
Senior senator. Senior. Yeah.
I want somebody to do a Colonel Discipline.
They don't vote for values or anything. They vote for their heroes. That's who they vote for. Donnie. That's their hero. They're not much into this democracy shit anymore. They want to move them to something else.
I want somebody to do a Colonel Jessup on this Tuber shit, asshole.
It was funny. Admiral James Stavridis, who had four stars on his shoulder boards, okay?
You fucked with the wrong Marine, motherfucker. And I'm going to rip your head off
Tommy the Tuber got all worked up about we're reading poems on the intercoms on aircraft carriers. Our military's so woke, and I don't know what to do with all this woke. Wow. Admiral James Stavridis, he of the four-star admiral variety,
wrote a poem back. He said, "You got a problem with poems? I got a poem for you, Tommy. Roses are red, carriers are gray. Why do you diss our troops every damn day?"
Every fucking day. In the name of his God. You know, because God's pro-life. Yeah. Yeah, let's forget about that flood thing killing everybody. Just don't pay attention to
and
that.
Then yeah. And then there's this. Tommy the Tuber may be single-handedly responsible for a renaissance in poetry in the military. For all I know, they're out there on the USS George W. Bush reciting The Wreck of the Fucking Hesperus, okay? But it turns out George S. Patton, old Blood and Guts, he hated that nickname, by the way, wrote this one. "Through a glass darkly, perhaps I stabbed our Savior in his sacred, helpless side. Yet I've called his name in blessing when in after times I died. Through the travail of the ages, midst the pomp and toil of war, have I fought and strove and perished countless times upon this star. I have sinned and I have suffered, played the hero and the knave, fought for belly, shame, or country, and for each have found a grave. So as through a glass and darkly, the age-long strife I see, where I fought in many guises, many names, but always me." Patton was a bit of a romantic.
You know, that poetry guy. What kind of guy is that?
A little bit nutty. And, you know, if you've ever seen the movie, there's that beautiful scene when he confronts Rommel's Africa Corps, and he's up on the ridge with his field glasses, and he says, "Rommel, you magnificent bastard, I read your book.
I read your book." Yep. Yes, I do.
And then when he's on a battlefield somewhere, and he talks about how he was there. In fact, they're in the ruins of Carthage. And there used to be a military tradition of being thinkers. You know, the idea being that you had to be a thinker in order to be a good warfighter.
You had to read the book.
But Tommy the Tuber, who has never, you know, I never served. I came close, but I never served.
It's not everybody, buddy. It's not a requirement. That's bullshit.
But
the average through the years is 1%, sir. That's who serves this country. 1% of our population.
But that's not Tommy the Tuber. Tommy the Tuber rests on the stolen valor that he claims for his father. You know, he says his father got the Bronze Star or some such shit as that.
Oh, so that makes him a... I understand now. Yeah, well, of course.
Fucking stolen valor. Asshat.
That guy Pinkins down in Mississippi. This guy came back. He got a Bronze Star. You know what he's doing right now? He's running for congressman down in Mississippi, in his home district. He came home, baby. There's a hero.
Yeah.
Kind of like Ron DeSantis quietly saying he was a Navy SEAL, even though he was just their lawyer who told them how to torture people legally.
Yeah, Ron DeSantis can go shove it up his butt, too.
Who also apparently had a bad day in court. Nitwit Nero and Mark Meadows aren't the only ones doing all the losing.
There's more losing going on?
Yes.
Great, tell what?
Orlando State Attorney Monique Worrell filed a suit Wednesday in the Florida Supreme Court. And the next day, a judge told DeSantis that he would have to file a new motion in trying to strip Disney of its self-governing status. So he keeps losing. And today there were Supreme Court arguments in Florida based on the fact that in 1980... the people of the state of Florida enshrined the right to privacy and the right to an abortion in their state constitution, and Monkey Up is saying,
Well, I probably don't mean no abortion. What I tell you, I think Harvard University needs to go into receivership until their admissions policy. We need to shut this shit down until we figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
How it is the ignorant dipshits like Monkey Up Duclantis wind up going to Harvard instead of Florida Compass Point Junior Community College.
Remind me again where Ted Cruz went?
Columbia and then Harvard.
I rest my case.
You want me to remind you where George H.W. Bush went to?
Oh, where did he go?
Yale and then Harvard.
Yale and then Harvard. We produce the finest crooks. Yeah, that's what you know.
Yale, how pedestrian.
How pedestrian? Wait a minute. Who did that?
That's Emilio.
Yes, that was me.
That had to be Emilio.
Oh, Lord.
And I said HIPAA. You remember HIPAA? You remember, HIPAA? Privacy rights?
Yeah, right, yeah.
We still got them?
That also does not include abortion.
They went away.
I thought so.
And then from the Department of Good God Fearing Upstanding Bible Believing Christ Centered Evangelical Fundamentalist Amosexual Republican, we have, courtesy of John in Central PA, the tale of Ohio State Representative Bob Young. Of course, he's a Republican. Demands are coming out now that he resign from the Ohio State Legislature.
Pray tell, what did he do?
He got into it with his family values, Republican, Christian, one man, one woman wife.
Well, of course, yeah.
And she was trying to call the po-po.
Oh, no.
When he grabbed her phone and throwed it into the poo.
Did she swim for it?
Because he had already clocked her.
Oh, violence, you say?
Yes.
Oh no.
And then
Christian like that, would he?
And then after he hit her, he chased her while she was trying to get to her brother-in-law's house with her children, and then he tackled his own damn brother through a glass door.
What a wonderful character! Look how far he goes for Jesus. Chase him. Boy, I'm telling you, that guy's a Christian if they're ever... Are you shitting me? So what are they going to do with him?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. If you reported it to Jim Jacket Off Jordan, he'd probably look the other way. But here's the best part, if there's a best part here. He apparently has also, at one time or another, accused his opponent of engaging in domestic violence.
Oh, no, pray tell. Oh, see? Look at there. Who's that guy? Every time we get into this one discussion, I remember that guy down there in Oklahoma years ago. Big Christian Republican got caught in a room. In a motel.
Oh, you're talking about Ralph Shorty?
That's him. Thank you. Robin, you have such an amazing memory.
Well, you know, some people like Ralph Shorty, you just don't forget. I'm a Christian, and I'm Christian. I love Jesus.
Yep.
And I was just witnessing to the boy, and I told him I'd give him a bag of weed for spring break if I could suck his dick in the name of Jesus.
In the name of the Lord. Whoop it out, boy. Every time my mind goes right back to that guy. Ah, shit. It's been too many of these stories down.
Yeah. And this guy is from Summit County, Ohio.
What'd he do? I'm afraid to ask.
No. This is a guy who just, went a whomping on his Christian family values wife.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. All right. We're back to him. Oh, Lord. Well, you know, it does say in the Bible right there, it says, cleave unto thy husband. And if you don't, he'll whack the shit out of you. I think that's in the next verse down. They hardly ever read that. But I'm sure it's in there somewhere, ain't it?
It has to be. And if it's not, they'll make it up.
They'll make that shit up. It's my opinion. You can find anything you want in there. If you're looking for it, you'll find it.
Yeah, you don't even necessarily have to look for it. You can just say it's there.
Yeah, just say
because
it.
The people you're talking to don't read it either.
Ain't nobody reading it.
Let's not say we did it.
Because it gets real uncomfortable and real inconvenient if you read it and you start taking things like, I don't know, Matthew 25 or the Sermon on the Mount seriously. Because then you realize how much you're falling short.
Yep, you ain't making it. Shit. It's a good thing I don't believe in that shit because I know I ain't making it nowhere.
Now, if there's 1,000 religions on earth, that means that you only got a chance with one. And I got better odds with a roulette wheel. It's only got 100 numbers.
Let's go to Vegas.
Yeah.
You know what I always say, Rob? Yeah, I don't know if there's a God or not. I don't think so. I mean, we got telescopes now. We can look into deep space, Hubble, and all that other shit. I don't see nothing out there. But I want to try to live my life in a way that even if there was, what's it going to get me for? Blasphemy? Okay, you got me there. I don't believe in your ass. Show me something. And the other thing I always follow it with is if he is there, I'll give him one fucking chance to get on his fucking knees and apologize.
Beg me for forgiveness.
That's it, baby. So don't come to me with your God shit.
Wasn't he a mother?
I'll give him a fucking chance to get on his fucking knees.
God was a mother, right? He created everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, God's pro-life. Yeah, except for that blood thing. Yeah.
Maybe non-binary. Who knows? Mm. Is it up to us to know? I mean, this is so stupid. my opinion.
How do you want to be treated? That's the way I look at it. What if that was you?
Exactly. What was the song back in the 90s? What if God was one of us?
Oh, shit. Can you imagine if Jesus came back on the earth right now? Shit. You better get a haircut. One thing.
On
maybe
one
shave that beard.
Groomer.
On one sad note, I'm sad to say that my Kansas City Chiefs lost last night by one freaking point.
Who?
Yeah, and you know what?
Who?
That was a very happy note for our dear friend Joy in Ann Arbor.
Who was it?
The Chiefs lost last night to the
never
Lions.
Heard
never, never heard of them. Yeah. spoken like a true Pokes fan.
Oh shit! That sucks. I just got that discussion because I do a live show on Sundays.
Yes.
What's on TV on Sunday? The things we give up for our families, Robin. I'm telling you.
I understand. I do.
Mm-hmm. They don't know the sacrifice we have to go through. Which brings up: have you hit the Friday mark yet? Have we?
No, no. We're still kind of stuck. We're still kind of stuck on 770.
Oh, man. We got to get it down to at least 700.
699, so it ain't 1,000 on Monday.
I'm putting the vibes. I'm praying over it. I'm praying over it as we speak right now.
Yes.
I can feel
the seeds. Yes. I can feel your seed faith coming through the interweb tubes.
Let it go out of your wallet, right into the phone, right there.
It's easy. It's easy. There's Venmo and PayPal and Patreon.
All that stuff. Easy way to do it. Pick your style. Whatever way is easiest for it. $2, $4, $6.
Yeah.
I appreciate every donation we get on our show because it's all that's paying my bills. That's what's going to get my truck fixed. That's all I got.
Yeah.
So we got to lean, we don't want to lean on you, but that's what we do.
Yeah, it's the way it continues to exist. We're golly Moses.
It's sort of like that democracy thing. It doesn't work unless you're involved.
Yeah, it doesn't work unless you want it to happen.
And your vote is your donation in this situation.
Well, Emilio, I got to do some ciphering here now. Emilio just took us down to
$762.50. $762.50. Thank you, Emilio.
Let's get rid of that 62 stuff. Let's get it down to 700.
$63.50, and we're below 1,000 for Monday. Yeah. And by the way, happy Star Trek Day to everybody. This is Star Trek Day. It premiered on September the 8th, 1966, as mentioned at the beginning of the program. Because we always have to have our Star Trek references.
I'm getting old. Fuck.
Oh, wait, Randy Radar has awarded a cowbell to us both, John Bredevo. Jesus would have to get a haircut and me yelling, Groomer!
We know we're tight.
This just comes of being diehard broadcast professionals, doesn't it? Or at least that's the lie we tell ourselves in the dark and still of the night. How is everybody down on the ranch, John? I love your family to pieces. Everybody okay?
Everybody's doing fine. Medical kind of crap going on. What are you going to do? You got to deal with that shit. Both my knees are shot, my shoulder's shot, and hell, it's hard to get up in the morning. But everybody else in the house seems to be doing well. Mama's doing fairly well.
Good.
So,
hey to Mama.
That's it. Take care of her. That's my main mission.
How's Jenny?
Oh, Jenny's doing just fine. Fat as a, just a big fat donkey out there. I went out there this morning, sat with her for a while, and was having a long discussion with her, actually, whilst I was feeding her treats. She was very attentive. I think she agreed with my views.
I think she's probably a very philosophical donkey.
Yes, she's a very smart donkey. And let me tell you what happened to me, Robin. This will make you smile. You know John has a donkey. I have a parrot. I have three dogs. Let me see. What else we got? I don't know. 50 cats? Well, not that many. But it sure seems like it at times. And I got four brand new kittens out there, and I mean just weeks old now, walking around on the porch and shit. And so when I'm doing my video,
meow.
Yes, it's in the back. Yes, you can hear them. And I make comments like, I got hit rocking my rocker, I got kittens under me, I was going to kill somebody. Anyway, I'm sitting here the other day, I think it was just a few days ago, I guess. Then FedEx guy pulls up in front of our house. We see him on a security camera. What the hell is he doing? I don't know, Dad. I guess he's got a delivery here. Well, it's a long way out there. And then I see him get his dolly out. Whatever the fuck, it must be heavy. We better go see. And then he starts stacking boxes on his dolly. Seven of them. And starts rolling it up my driveway. Of course, by this time, my son goes out there and meets him. I'm sitting upstairs wondering what the hell that is. It turns out it was sent by one of our Blue Dot family members. It was 200 pounds of cat food.
Oh.
200 wow. pounds
you're
of
right.
cat
at this
food.
Point, at this point, John Bredevo, you're running your own shelter.
I'm telling you. As a matter of fact, I got another package with some cat treats in it, another package with some cat toys in it. So it going around the Blue Dot family, this cat thing. And I think it was last night on last night's show, one of our Blue Dot members, Bob Kay, came in with did a $30 donation. He said, these damn cats are getting too damn pampered. Buy something for the damn dogs.
And, of course.
Tickled with that. But yes, 200 pounds of cat food. Here's the rub. Here's the knife that goes in the side and twists. So I took a 30-pound sack of that across the street to my neighbor. Not butt boy down the street that's really bad, but this other neighbor, she don't like me anyway. Doesn't like my politics, but she's got a bunch of cats. So I gave her 30 pounds. I said, here you go. I just want to leave this here. You feed your babies. I walked away with a smile. Thank you. You're welcome. Knife in them. Just
fuck you. Well, what's it say in Proverbs? It's like putting hot coals on their heads.
I loved it. I loved it. I walked away with a good feeling in my heart. That I gave her the food and a little nudge of fuck you. I don't let personal shit like you get in the way, because I've had, anybody that knows me knows what hell I have had around this.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes.
And violence and all that other shit. And so, you know, and yet every time I drive down my street, I wave at them. How you doing? Because fuck you. That's what I mean by, you know, if there is a God, I'll stand there. Like I say, you better get on his knees next, but I'll stand there and hold my head up high.
Nothing to apologize for.
Nothing to apologize for, baby. Well, okay, maybe a few things when I was younger. Okay. Other than that.
Well, you know, you mentioned in cats. I would be so happy if my neighbors, my Confederate neighbors, could keep their animals on their own property. Because they've got this flock of guinea hens. And those are some obnoxious birds.
They will chase your ass.
And they are bullying our outside kitty. Now he likes to be outside. He likes to romp around and play and right. You know how they'll prowl through the high grass, and if I go outside and walk around the yard, he's my best buddy, and he's right there stride for stride with me. Hey, what are you doing? I'll just walk around. Walk with you? Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
And he's a beautiful boy. He's a sweet boy. He runs to the car to me every time I pull in the driveway. Hey. And they have bullied the shit out of him. They have attacked him. They have pecked him. And he's not trying to do anything. They go looking for him.
That's bullshit. Good fences, baby. Make for good neighbors. Isn't that what they say?
That's what Robert Frost said. Good fences make good neighbors.
There's not a piece of my property that isn't fenced in. I can let my
For a while, we couldn't keep their pair of Rottweilers out of the yard, and that was disconcerting because they were not friendly puppies.
That's not cool.
You understand this. You live in Texas. I live in West Virginia. That's, you know, moments like that is when you, you know, take your leisurely stroll around the acre with your 9mm.
Somebody's going to get, yeah. You know, well, I, you know, it's, you know, I lost my goat to three dogs from down the street. And those dogs, when I say they tore my donkey up, I am telling her rump had gashes in there that you just could not close. They were like 11, 12 inches long, gaping wounds of like 2 or 3 inches wide, hunks of skin just ripped off of her. That's because my neighbors wouldn't put up a fucking fence.
I got the same kind, kinda, sort of, yeah. No, oh, by the way, Arnold just messaged me from up in PA. It's a simple message. Fuck guinea hens.
Eh, fuck them. Hey, they taste good. I heard they taste like chicken.
they look like fucking dinosaurs. Kind of unsettling.
I wake up every morning to have my coffee to watch my big-ass pit bulls sit down there with four cats, and they're just having a ball, just licking on each other and rubbing up against each other and that shit. That's how I start my day every morning, because I let her out, and then I open that door, the outside door, and then four cats come right in every morning. Thank God there's only four of them that have figured out what air conditioning is. The other 15 or 20 are still out on the front porch.
Yeah, they haven't learned the life of leisure.
No,
yet.
And I don't want them to.
No. You are what we call around here, John.
But
cat poor.
That's me. That's how come. You know, I did not say anything. I think she just got the hint. I think I did a video with one of the kittens in my lap, and I made the comment of John's got lots of cats around here. Go broke buying cat food around here, which I do. You know, and I guess that's what stimulated.
If you don't have pets, you do not understand what has happened to the price of pet food.
Yeah, no shit. You don't think I appreciated that cat? Oh hell yes, I do. Oh yeah, I do. I appreciate everything the Blue Dot family does for me, and just like the Horn family, you know, you get those little gifts in the mail or something. Those are treasures, baby.
Yes,
I'm
they
surrounded
are.
By them on my set. Everything from whiskey to Donnie Dahl with a stick up his ass so I could pull it out and bang my gong. I love that. I stick it in Donnie's ass every day. So.
Well, I'm gonna roll out of here. We're a little bit over time. Hopefully, maybe over the weekend, we'll knock some of this 76250 down and not be at, you know, 106250 on Monday. It's been a rousing conversation this evening. You know, gee, Mark Meadows, I hope it doesn't hurt too little.
Ooh, just yeah.
Enjoy your trial and go ahead. Just do what Kenneth Cheesebro did and what the Kraken lawyer did, you know, Squidney, and ask for a speedy trial.
Speedy
today.
Trial. Let's get this stuff. Why suffer? Why put yourself through that? Just go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, get it over with.
Robin, thank you for letting me in, darling.
Oh, always a pleasure.
Take care of yourself. My love to the whole Horn family, baby.
And to you and yours and the Blue Dots, John. We love you dearly, and you know that. And we got a lot of, you know, we got a lot of cross-pollination between those two communities.
A lot of it. And we love it, baby.
Yes,
we
do.
Let them bees fly. Let them bees fly. So.
Yeah, y'all take care. Be good, John. And everybody else, the back porch will continue after I disconnect. Meanwhile, thank you for the help this evening. Thank you so much. And we'll move toward getting the bills paid somehow or another. Keep on keeping on. Thank you. Thanks to our Patreon and our PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors, our challenge makers. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Roger in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, please like and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a comment for the algorithm so maybe we can grow the community a bit or a lot. That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? A whole bunch of new voices in the conversation. I would just love that. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Pay attention, see when the new booster comes out. In the meantime, if you're around maggots, wear your mask. Because, you know, they don't give a damn about anybody themselves, and they don't think much of themselves. After all, they worship Tangerine Tiberius. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer. Maintain your social distance. Oh, and by the way, Arnold in PA says, Bob Fass, radio legend, had 12 cats. Apparently it's a radio thing. I didn't know that. And if by chance Mark Meadows comes toward you on the sidewalk, I need to be out of this case. I'll avoid him like the plague. Because he is. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Love you, Wayne. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.